Hey, kids, stop petting dead animals.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
Sunday, December 22nd, 2024. This is your award-winning Gibbon Nation Media Assassination, episode 1723.
This is No Agenda.
Barreling down the mountain and broadcasting live from the heart of Da Vinci's hometown here in Florence, Italy. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where it's wet, I'm John C. Dvorak.
Really?
That's all you got? It's just wet. It's just wet, everybody.
I thought you were going to be in Amsterdam.
No, I was in Amsterdam the first day, and then now we're in Florence because we're here for Christmas.
And I understood that you were going to go right to Italy and to do whatever it was you're doing, and then go to Amsterdam and do the show there.
Well, you have it exactly backwards now, don't you?
Obviously.
No, we went to Amsterdam first to do some stuff there. And then we went to Italy for my brother-in-law's 60th birthday, and we're going to be here for Christmas. That's what's going on. How could you get that so wrong?
I have no idea. It's unbelievable.
So we almost didn't make it tonight for the show, which was rather exciting.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be an interesting story.
Maybe not.
Let's hope it is.
But I do have a travel report. Let me start at the beginning. So Monday night, before we left, we had the Boostergram Ball live in Austin at Antone's, which was, a hootenanny. We had six bands. It was all streaming live on the modern podcast apps. It was an amazing time. I just needed to say this because there was a guy named Parker who, if he hasn't, will be contacting you. He's doing a documentary on Value for Value. And of course, I said, I'll participate, but only if you also interview John. Has he reached out yet?
No, never heard of him.
Well, there you go. He will. Or he might be in email somewhere, and you just haven't seen. It's possible.
I'll make sure he can.
Because, you can't do a Value for Value documentary without your side. This is very important. And this guy, he's from New York. He's shaking. I walk into Antone's, and he's doing stuff with the setup. He's shaking, visibly shaking. He said, what's going on? He said, I'm so sorry. I'm trying to organize Airbnbs. I'm trying to get my family out of New York because an Army Ranger buddy of mine told me that there's a loose nuke, and that's what all these drones are looking for. I said, sit down, son.
Oh, brother.
But this is the degree to which that PSYOP went. He was still
going on. Are you kidding?
Yeah, it is. It is to a degree.
Which is, of course, what I predicted. I think it would go on for another week.
You think? Even I thought the shutdown, phony shutdown, kind of got rid of that. I guess not. Anyway, so.
You milk it. You got it going.
Well, they are definitely milking. Yeah, they're milking.
What else can we do with this thing?
We're
having meetings as we speak.
Anyway, so we finally, we stay overnight.
Shaken.
It was sad. Yeah, this is the level that the PSYOPs go to.
And it's like,
he was trying to get an Airbnb for his family in West Virginia or something. I'm like, dude, sit down. Anyway, so we go back Tuesday, and then Wednesday morning we leave. We get on the plane, and we're flying to New York first, which I never like to do because New York is always a problem if you're connecting in New York.
And yes, you're better off connecting in Atlanta.
Which we couldn't get with the timing. So on the way back, we're connecting in Atlanta. So, we've got like an hour and a half layover. And yeah, of course, lo and behold, before we're starting to board, we're sorry. We're going to be delayed at least another hour, which to me means, okay, that'll be another 2 hours.
And
this is Delta. The reason was they were out of pilots, which typically does not happen in the middle of the month. And they had given our pilot to another flight, and we're flying in a new pilot for us from Detroit. And he had not gotten on the plane in Detroit yet. So, it's just like,
so how's that an hour?
No, it's to four. We had a four-hour delay. Oh, it took forever. It took forever to get out. By the way, TSA and image recognition, facial recognition, it's everywhere, including boarding on Delta, international flight. Now, you recall, if you get on an international flight, you stand in the line. You show the check-in agent. You show them your boarding pass and your passport. Please have your passport open to the picture page. You recall this, right?
course.
Yeah, well, that's no more. Just keep everything in your pocket. Just look in this little screen. Boom. Welcome aboard. So no boarding pass, no passport. It's all in the system.
Hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds spoofable.
Anyway, so we get into Amsterdam. I was going to do a TV interview, so we do. We're late. But anyway, it all worked out fine. And the next day, we get up on time, and we fly to Florence. Short flight, hour and a half. We land in Florence, a very small airport. There's, they shove a stair to the plane, so you're walking on the tarmac. Yeah, cool. One of those deals. Yeah. You walk into the baggage.
Long Beach.
And I'm just going to go to the bathroom for a second. I walk in the bathroom. As I'm walking out, I hear, "They're eating the dogs!" I'm like, so there's, one of our producers with his wife, Alex and Annie. Like, "Hi, how you doing? I thought you guys were, I was hoping you might be on our flight." He's yelling, "They're eating the dogs in the airport bathroom." Which was
pretty, well, that's a good one.
It was good, but I didn't. It didn't.
Most people go ITM. It's less jarring.
No, he started off with "they're eating the dogs." So we're in downtown Florence. It's fantastic. So we have a nice evening. For us to have a nice dinner, and the next day we're going to go off into the mountains. And everybody you talk to here, the minute they hear you're from America, so they'll be talking with you, like, the guy in the restaurant, he says, "Can I ask you, what do you," they're real careful, "what do you think of Trump?" And we go, like, yeah, we think he's great. "I love Trump. Trump has big balls. He's very good. We love Trump. Everybody here loves Trump."
Oh, but they're reluctant to...
Very,
Oh, yes. That's interesting, because of the blowback they get from the Democrats.
Exactly.
Obviously.
But everybody you talk to is... Well, especially the restaurants and retails. Oh, no,
well, you're in Italy, where Meloni is, she is obviously a Trump.
Well,
she's going to be big... By the way, I saw a picture, not to change the subject, but I saw a picture of her, I guess when she was in the United States and she was with Biden, and she was like, she had his head on his, she has got some sort of granddad thing with Biden, and she feels bad about, I mean, we've noticed this over the last couple of years, that Meloni has really got something going on with Biden. She feels bad about her or something. Well, I don't know what it is.
And so, I said to a couple of these people, I said, "So, but you've got Meloni." "Yes, Meloni has big balls too. But, she like a Biden. She like a Trump. She like Elon. Who? Oh, Elon." Because, she had to have Elon. She's all hot and heavy for Elon, according to everybody here, because she had
him. I didn't know that.
Yeah, she had him give her an award and had, specifically requested.
Oh, this did crop up. Yep. Yeah.
And then, of course, they all talk about tariffs, which will be my first clip. Because they're very worried about the tariffs. They've all been psyoped here. It's like, "Oh no, we think Trump is good, but it's not good for our economy, because we can't export our goods. It'd be big tariffs, and Trump is going to punish us." I've got my Italian English down really good.
Well, and I don't know if you got it good or not.
So there's this huge article in the Financial Times yesterday morning. And I got a copy of it here for you. Trump wants 5% NATO defense spending target. So now remember, it was 2% GDP for all NATO members. Now Trump, somehow through the Financial Times, because he hasn't said it anywhere himself. Donald Trump's team has told European officials that the incoming U.S. president will demand NATO member states increase defense spending to 5% of GDP. And I'm like, this is it. And it's a front page of the Financial Times. So I'm reading through this. And then a little bit further down, it says, one person said they understood that Trump, he would settle for 3.5%. But he was explicitly planning to link higher defense spending and the offer of more valuable trading terms with the U.S. So what he's doing here is very interesting, because, of course, 5%, 3.5%, 2.5% is all going to be spent on us, on our companies. You know, defense spending means you're buying from Boeing and Raytheon and our guys, as far as I know. They may, they're trying.
Well, there are European suppliers of certain things. Yeah. It's not the kind of.
No, it's not that kind of money. And so
it's
then,
not the leverage we have.
And so he's tying that to tariffs. And, you know, so the message is, well, you know, everyone paid 5%, but, I'll take 3.5%. You know, which is still almost double the 2%. And then maybe I'll go easy on your tariffs. And so he's already dealing. And then, as if just by God's grace, our boy Rutte comes out and talks about this big European Union meeting going on. And so everyone's out there talking. And our friend Mark Rutte comes out, but, you know, I won't talk about what is in the Financial Times this morning, but I will talk about it because I think I'm working for Trump.
I saw that piece in the FT today and this 3% being mentioned, and I decided today not to mention a new figure. We will need more time to consult amongst allies.
Yes, we won't talk about the 5%.
What exactly the new level should be, but it is considerably more than 2%. But let me be very frank. If you would only spend more and not spend better, you have to go to at least 4%.
Oh, what?
Okay.
And you can lower the 4% by doing two things. One is innovation, making sure that you get the most innovative technologies.
Innovative.
As part of your defense industrial base and therefore in your defense organizations. Oh, God, and secondly, by buying together.
I love this guy. He's like, hey, you know, 3.5%, okay, but maybe 4% if you make it smart and innovative.
Mm-hmm. So join procurement. And as I said in my speech, we have to get rid of that idiotic system where every ally is having these detailed requirements, which makes it almost impossible to buy together, to have joint procurement, etc. So it is crucial that we spend not only more, but also better, because otherwise the financial impact will be huge. And then not even with 4%, you can defend yourselves, because then you would not have the latest technologies mm-hmm. implemented mm-hmm. In your defense organizations, in your armies, in your navy, in the whole of your military.
This guy is such a tool that he didn't even read the article. Trump's already at 3.5, and he's trying to negotiate down to 4. What a tool. This is amazing.
That guy.
Yeah. He's what a numb. Everybody here is laughing about him. Anyway, so we went up to the mountain last night to, it was a fun party. It was, I think, 18 people. You know, my sister, both sisters were there, of course, and their kids, and we're all hanging out in this, you know, you have to go up with a bus. It's about an hour and a half from Florence, and there's snow. And it's completely idyllic. And we come down with, and you go up with the cable car the last bit of the way. The whole thing's perfect. And we're supposed to leave at 3:30, which would get me here in time to still do some prep work before the show starts. And we get down to the bus, and the guy's like, well, my left windshield wiper motor broke. I can't drive because now it's sleet or it's raining. And I'm like, oh, crap. You know, I got to find a cab. The closest cab is an hour away. It's taken an hour for me to get here. And then I'm like, I'm never going to make this. And then the Italians jump in.
Dedication to the show, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you pay attention to what he's talking about.
Yeah, it was like, oh, this cab ride will cost you 400 euros. I'm like, I don't know. We got to get to the show, so we got to get home. and it was like, oh, what are we going to do?
I'm sorry.
Well, and the cab's not answering, and, you know, Willow, of course, is fluent in Italian. She's trying to figure it out. And I say, will anybody drive? And Tina's like, hold on a second. I don't want any nut job Italian driving us home. Hold on a second. And then meanwhile, my nephews, they had done the most Italian thing ever. They bribed the driver and said, you drive down. Halfway down the mountain before you get on the highway.
Of course you bribe the driver. Yes.
Before we get on the highway, you have another bus to pick us up, and they arranged it. And so we still got here later than expected. But anyway, it was a total Italian caper. Loved it. You know, the guy, I can lose my license. Ah, here's some euros. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, I'm good. I'm good. I'll get you guys home. So that was good. It was good. It was in, you know, and so we're here, and then we're going to spend Christmas here and then go back to Amsterdam and then spend one more day to do the show on Thursday, and then we'll fly back home. So that,
oh, maybe see, that's where I got mixed. I did that. You confused. Probably told me that.
I want to thank Strokey Bill Walsh for the last episode, a best of episode. I could not have wished for a better response. I don't know what you saw, but everybody was just, oh my God, this was such a great episode, but it freaked me out. I hated going back to that. You know, it was a reminder. Are we going into that again with this bird flu nonsense? I think Bill did a great job. He really did. He was irked we didn't use his art, but I thought Nick the Rat's art was great. And the title, of course, you know, we didn't say COVID retrospective.
We didn't use his art.
That's Strokey
Bill. We have artists.
That's Strokey Bill. And, you know, we didn't use his title, COVID retrospective 2. Instead, it was This Really Happened, which you suggested, which was a great title. And I think it really set the mood and people enjoyed it. You know, they enjoyed it. And as far as you can enjoy this kind of a look back. And a lot of people said, boy, how quickly we've forgotten that the lies. Because this took us up to the vaccine. This didn't even include the vaccine nonsense.
No, this is just the pre-lies.
Yeah, the pre.
Pre-lies.
Yeah, the post lies. Yeah, it's just
a lot of setup lies.
Setup lies. So, anyway,
it's like, you know, there was I don't have this clip, but there was I guess Harvey Mandel has a podcast
Howie Mandel. Yeah.
Howie's got, you know, who is a germaphobe big time.
Oh, with RFK Jr.
Yeah. Did you see the clips from that?
I saw the clip, but they didn't. The one where with Howie Mandel and his whole crew couldn't believe that all these people had said, the shot is safe, effective, and you won't get COVID. You can't give COVID to anybody. And they're like, no, that didn't happen. That's the clip you're talking about.
I was stunned by this.
It was quite amazing.
And I think Kennedy was stunned too. He was going, wait a minute, I got clips here if you want to hear them. And they wouldn't play them, but it's like they were in denial. Is that, you think, denial or ignorance? I mean, I can't put my finger on it, but it was like, wait a minute. If you're going to be doing these public podcasts like this, you have to have some basic knowledge, it seems to me.
Maybe I can find the clip real quick. Well, the thing that at the very end, because he's saying, you know, Fauci was saying this, and then he says Rachel Maddow, and then Howie Mandel goes, oh, well, Rachel Maddow doesn't count. Like, all of a sudden, Rachel Maddow's no good. You know, you know he's all up her butt. Here, I'll have the clip.
They say what they're saying, out of 22,000 people, there was one COVID death among the vaccinated, and there was two COVID deaths on the unvaccinated.
Double.
22,000 people. So, and that allowed them to claim it's 100% effective.
Effective for what? You can't use the word effective.
But you remember they kept saying it's 100% effective.
No, they just said it'll negate the severity.
If you go on the internet, you can see Tony Fauci.
But the word effective didn't say you won't get, I never heard you won't get COVID.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is a different subject. But yeah, in fact, I saw a tape yesterday of them all, of Biden, Fauci, Gates, Birla, all of them saying, if you take the vaccine, Rachel Maddow, if you take the vaccine, you can't get COVID, you can't pass COVID.
I didn't see that.
Okay, well, you know what? Can I play it for you?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, wait. Here. It doesn't matter what Rachel Maddow says. But,
oh, really?
They say what they're saying out of 22,000 people.
Sorry, there you go. It doesn't matter what Rachel Maddow said. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, this is the state of the podcasting world, thanks to you.
So now it's my fault that Harvard Mandel, what's his name?
Harvard. That's even better.
Harvard Mandel. That Harvard Mandel, that he, well, you know what happened was when it didn't work out that way, they switched the messaging. I guess the last messaging is what weak-minded brothers and sisters remember. The
final messaging was still, because floors me, is my absolute favorite. I was almost going to pull a clip for today's show
where they all
had shots and they all got COVID and they changed the messaging to, well, won't be hospitalized. You won't have severe symptoms, which is proving a negative. There's no way of proving that.
Yeah.
And that was the message they switched. Well, yeah, you might get it, but.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then he had these people coming out saying, oh, I had COVID. Luckily, I had this shot.
Yeah.
I mean, what?
Yeah, so it wouldn't be so severe and you won't have to go to the hospital. That's the only messaging they remember, because I think their brains are so small that it's, you know, in and out. Like, you put messaging in and, oh, here comes new messaging. God, what do I do with this message? Oh,
yeah, I think
get rid of it.
Well, there is definitely a last in, first out issue here, where they don't remember anything that took place before the last message.
It's crazy. It's
crazy.
And so, it's unbelievable. They're still trying to do this bird flu thing. Ever since, what's his face? Hotep. Ever since he said, oh, it's all coming. Oh, it's January 21st is when it all starts. All these viruses are coming. Here's NPR. This is a short clip. Very good summary. And I have many more if we want to listen to them. A very good summary of this one patient. So one patient is not doing too well. This one patient is over 65. We only know he or she is over 65, has pre-existing conditions. This was a big one during COVID. All the people who had to go on the vent had pre-existing conditions. And that's all we really know for privacy reasons. But, you know, this thing could jump from human to human pretty soon, you know.
But do you worry that a virus is getting stronger? John Connor, who's a professor at Boston University, says viruses are essentially right now going to the gym and getting stronger, you know, when they spread.
This is NPR. Talks to a professor. The professor says, well, right now the viruses are going to the gym and getting stronger. Okay, NPR.
As viruses are essentially right now going to the gym and getting stronger, you know, when they spread, birds, cows, other animals, they're mutating potentially. So do you worry about that as well?
You know, Robin, I'm in public health, so it's my job to worry. I am worried.
Yes.
But the stronger that I'm worried about is less about how bad an individual infection is, as worried as I am about that. It's more about the ability for this virus to stick better to humans. And the stickier it becomes to humans, the higher the probability that we get transmission from person to person. Now, if that happens, the severity of this illness will be something we consider. But we've known for some time that this influenza cause serious illness in people. So that's pretty well known. And it's not surprising to me that somebody with these pre-existing conditions would have a serious case. But what I'm watching for is the stickiness, the increased probability that we're seeing human cases, or if this were to jump between a human and another human. Yeah. And so as we think about strength of the virus, I want us to think about transmissibility more than we think about severity.
These guys are all getting jacked up again with the same messaging. And everyone's in on it. Here's ABC, and well, we have the first very severe case. Severe case.
According to the CDC, the very first severe case of bird flu has been confirmed here in the United States. What's the latest?
Yeah, starting on a serious note, this year serious alone, there have been more than 60 documented cases of human avian influenza. We're talking about H5N1, otherwise known as bird flu. If you'll take a look at this map, the cases are relatively widespread. The majority of cases, I want you to focus on California. They have more than half of the documented cases of bird flu. This comes after the
they're throwing up maps. You know, they have
maps.
Governor Newsom has announced a state of emergency in order to organize resources and fight against this outbreak. And this comes after the first, as you said, severe case of bird flu. I sat in conference with federal health officials and the CDC yesterday severe to get case. More information. Here's what you need to know about this case. This patient has a severe illness. They're hospitalized. The specifics about their case are still being reported from the Department of Health in Louisiana. They're over the age of 65, and reportedly they have become exposed to sick or dead birds within their home, their backyard. Suffering from quote-unquote severe respiratory illness. Of course, as I said, we're still getting more details about this case, but this is certainly an inflection point in this outbreak as we try to contain this virus.
This is exactly the same script, although, you know, it's not as, I don't know if it's as scary, but it's exactly the same script. Severe respiratory disease. Oh, well, we don't know. It's the first severe case. How
How concerned should we be?
Just how big of a threat is this?
Yeah, important to know, the majority of these cases, those more than 60 cases, are patients, people who have been exposed to sick or dead animals, and that seems to be where that transmission, that risk comes from. These animals can release this virus in mucus and saliva, and so petting or touching dead animals can increase that risk. And
hey, kids, stop petting dead animals. This is not a good idea. It's not a good idea.
Don't pet the dead animal.
Animals can increase that risk, and the symptoms to look out for, and we've received memorandums in our emergency rooms to identify patients who might be at risk, symptoms of sore throat, cough, fever, muscle aches, the typical symptoms you would see with the flu. And the best way to avoid is to make sure, number one, if you have animals, specifically wild birds, if you're managing or a farmer, you have to make sure that you're taking care and being cautious and washing your hands. Birds.
Yeah, well, you mean backyard chickens, they're going to get rid of that. That'll be the next thing.
Well, they'd like to.
No,
that's not a wild bird.
Yeah.
Backyard chicken.
No, it's wasted. Don't pet the chicken.
The mask, being mindful of that. But again, it's majority of those who are exposed to sick or dead animals. So that is where you need to take that caution.
All right, let's go to CBS, Dr. Celine Gounder, who I believe was her husband who dropped dead at the Olympics. From
the shot?
Well, allegedly, there's no evidence. So let's talk about this.
Is it the same strain as what's going on with dairy cattle?
It is not the same strain.
It's different.
A strain that we have seen in wild birds, and also the strain involved with the teenager who was hospitalized in critical condition from H5N1 in British Columbia, Canada.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, stop.
Something new going on here.
Isn't H5N1... And H5N1, there's a different strain of H5N1. Wouldn't that be some other designation as opposed to H5N1?
I would think so. It makes no sense.
But it makes no sense what she said.
No, is it based
on their own way of their own nomenclature? It doesn't make sense. But okay, we'll assume it's H5N1.2.
Now remember, there's a lot of different agendas that are going on here. A lot of people, are involved in these types of psychological operations against people. So we already have the backyard chickens. Ooh, can't have that. Oh, there's still more.
But so people at home hearing this are going to say, well, so he was handling birds. Is there a concern now, though, that people could pass it to other people?
Very good question. So yes, his exposure was sick and dead birds. So for those of us at home, do not handle sick or dead animals. Call.
Do not pet the dead animals.
Animal control. But in terms of human.
Wait, hold on a second. So you got five chickens in your backyard.
Yeah.
And one of the chickens drops dead, mm-hmm. which they do. They get old, different things happen. They get egg bound, which is a real problem.
What's egg bound?
Oh, that's where the eggs get too big and they can't get them out.
Oh,
and they just
claw
them up and they drop dead.
Oh, that happens to chickens?
It happens a lot. In fact, we have Jay has a bunch of chickens and I'll do a little chicken background here.
That's literally too many eggs.com. I mean, that's bad.
Too many eggs.com information. So she got a couple of these. She's got chickens, and those are the eggs I use for my raw milkshake for the show. And she found one of the chickens. It's got a nice big egg, and it's got double yolks.
Yeah.
Which is a cool egg to have, yeah. But yeah, Mimi gave me a lecture about these double yolk. I mean, you run into them every once in a while, even the jumbo eggs, when you see jumbo eggs.
Yeah.
She says, generally speaking, those chickens don't live a long life because eggs are too big, and they will get egg bound. Then they can't lay the egg, it gets stuck in them, and then the next thing you know, the chicken's dead. So, by the way, these people are talking, you have a dead chicken in your backyard, you got to call animal control to pick them up. Are you kidding me?
You got to call CDC that are coming with hazmat suits.
Give me a break.
Let's call animal control.
Yeah,
but
animal control.
In terms of human-to-human transmission, the concern is the more we allow spillover into humans, the more likely at some point you might see a mutation that would allow for human-to-human transmission.
Because most people don't come in contact with sick or dead birds.
Right. They keep talking about... Oh, it's just one little hop before you know it. Human to human transmission. Then we'll have a pandemic. Everybody's going to die. But whatever you do, don't drink the raw milk.
How big of a concern should all of us feel watching and listening to you?
Right. So for the general public, the risk is still exceedingly low. Mm-hmm. The people who are at risk are farm workers, people who handle domesticated animals, livestock. Mm-hmm. And really, don't drink raw milk. It's really not a good idea, given everything that's happening. And again, if the more people get exposed to this virus, the more likely you are to see a mutation that will allow for human-to-human transmission.
Man, you say that to an Italian, by the way. The minute you eat some food in Italy, you realize right away what slop we get in America.
Oh, yeah, Europeans, Italy and France both, and even Germany if you go there. Oh. But they're all throughout the areas are there. The food is just, there's no comparison, and they like it more. It's just better. It's prepared well, and they know what they're doing, and it's delicious.
Yeah, and you know, so in the morning here, we had, you know, they have a buffet breakfast. Oh, you like cheeses? We have a good cheeses. We have very good cheeses here. And the food labeling here, they have a label which is 0 km, means 0 kilometers, mean that cheese came from less than 1 kilometer away.
And the cheese is raw.
Oh, it sure is. Sheep cheese, goat cheese, all kinds of cheese.
Yeah, it's all raw. It's all raw milk cheese, yep. And it's all, yep. It's not pasteurized. And nope. The cheeses are so much better because of that. I mean, every once in a while, some of that raw milk cheese can sneak into the United States, even though they make a big fuss when it does. It's delicious.
It's so good. All of it, the meats, just everything. It's good. And you just think, oh, man, we get, come on, RFK Jr. Yeah, the FDA is now talking about, oh, we have to change our food labels. We have to explain what healthy means. And so healthy will mean, well, it has some carrots. it's ridiculous. We are so far off base.
And I know, it's funny.
And they ask, like, so Uncle Adam, what is with the guy who killed the CEO? Why is he a hero? And I say, well, let me explain what the typical cost is of health insurance. And when I say, you know, $1,500, you get an $8,000 deductible, they're like, what? We pay $150 a month and then a 300 euros and a 350 euro deductible. I said, now you might wait in line for 6 months. Yeah, I said, that sucks. But they can't believe it. Like, oh, well, yeah, now all of a sudden they get it. I'm like, oh, okay. Anyway. Let's go to Ann Thompson with Dr. Peter Chin Hong.
Hold on a second. So this guy, he's a local.
Yeah.
So he is on the local stations here in the Bay Area.
Yes.
All the time.
Hmm.
And he's kind of greasy, and he's got a funny mustache, and he's just like, he's always like, he's like a guy who would say, hey, wipe your face, you're all sweaty. And he's... He is just, every time you turn around, get more shots.
The CDC says the strain that has infected dairy cows is different from the one that sent the Louisiana resident to the hospital. 9 states have reported human cases of bird flu this year, and tonight California has declared a state of emergency over the outbreak to give local agencies more resources to prevent it from becoming a bigger problem.
People should be alert, they should be vigilant, but not scared. It really reminds us all to get flu shots right now. Yeah. Because we get infected with both bird flu and human flu. They can exchange genes and really make a variant that is more easily able to enter the human body and make us more sick.
Yeah, oh, easily. It's easily. It's going to happen. How concerned should we be?
Just what is the threat to the general public?
The good news is, Lester, the CDC says the threat is low. There's no evidence of person-to-person transmission. It has all been from infected animals to humans. So the advice is to avoid sick or dead animals. And if you own a backyard flock, you're a hunter or a bird enthusiast, wear personal protective gear, gloves, and mask when dealing with the animals. The same is true for farm workers.
Okay, man, thanks for that update.
Oh, that's a great update. Thank you. So you think that's crazy? You think that they're pushing some shots? How about the UK? They've pulled a classic out.
Norovirus, coronavirus, influenza, and RSV, which is another seasonal virus. NHS bosses are lumping those 4 things together in a thing they're calling the quaddemic, which they say is a massive, massive risk to the NHS right now.
Listen to that music. That's the BBC. The quaddemic.
The quaddemic. Quaddemic.
I mean,
you tried.
Yeah.
Quaddemic.
Perfect. Perfect. Very good.
Let's learn a little bit about the quaddemic, shall we? Because there's something going on in the UK. BBC Radio.
It'll be a long time before we forget the rush to find a vaccine. For COVID-19. You remember those months in 2020 when the development of the mRNA vaccine was sped up and eventually led to this breakthrough that could now be used to protect against another of our most disruptive winter bugs, norovirus.
John, before we go to NBC, who are jumping on this train, what is norovirus?
Yeah, everyone's had a case of, I think I've had noro three times.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very strange product. You get sick. I think it used to be called the 24-hour flu or the 24-hour bug.
Yeah, it used to be called a bug. Yeah, until they got a cool name for it.
Yeah, when they got the name for it. But it gives you, it lasts a day, and you end up throwing up and having intense diarrhea for about 24 hours. And it's like, you lose 5 to 6 pounds. It's one of the best diet.
It's better than Ozempic.
It's much better than Ozempic because it's faster and it kind of cleans you out. Ozempic doesn't do that.
You don't need a shot. Oh, that's great.
And you don't need a shot in the gut.
By the way.
But norovirus comes and goes. It usually comes in groups. We had a norovirus recently. I was watching.
It's also free. Norovirus is also free. You don't have to pay $1,000 for your Ozempic.
Yeah, it's free. When you get it, you know, if you ever had noro, you know it's noro.
Yeah.
Because it hits you so hard and so fast. Yeah. And it's not just debilitating, really, except that you have to sit on the toilet a lot.
Mm.
That's kind of debilitating. But there's a last night's news, there was an outbreak of noro out of some restaurant, big meetup in L.A., and there were came from the oysters.
Yeah, I have the clips.
You have the clip on that too.
I have the clips. Let me see. This is NBC. Dr. Natalie Azar.
You mentioned the UK. They're calling what's happening over there a quaddemic, and they mean flu, RSV, and norovirus, right? What's happening over there?
Yes. So they are seeing right now, what the UK is seeing is a pretty significant rise in flu hospitalizations and deaths over what they saw a year ago at this time. What happens in Europe is very likely going to be mirrored here in North America. You know, a lot of times we follow or we make predictions about the flu season based on what happened in the Southern Hemisphere. This past year, the Southern Hemisphere had a pretty predictably bad season. So we're not anticipating a season that's worse for us here, Ellison, than in previous years.
Yeah, but
this is the time. This is the time that we start to see
this
that uptick.
Time.
Vaccination rates in the UK aren't that great. For people under the age of 65, only 22% are getting vaccinated. It's not good enough. Usually this year, we're targeting at about 50% of adults getting vaccinated. As we mentioned, for kids, 39% of kids are getting vaccinated this year. That's significantly lower than last year and much, much too low, but we have time to make it up. Flu season is early. We are not nearly out of the woods yet. If you get vaccinated now, you'll be protected for the holidays.
Oh, yeah. This is the message. You don't want to be in a quaddemic like those Lymies. Get vaccinated.
So when you look at the quaddemic in the United Kingdom and the impact of RVS, ooh, RSV, yep, norovirus, flu, and COVID, yep, should Americans look at that
RVS,
okay?
RSV?
I think she said it wrong, didn't she? She said
first.
Yeah, norovirus, flu, and COVID. Yep. Should Americans look at that and say, okay, it's time now, even if we missed what we thought was the window to get vaccinated for the flu or COVID, we should all still go 100%.
100%.
100%.
You missed the window. Take the shot anyway.
Flu and COVID, it is definitely not too late. RSV is a one and done. So
one
if you're
done.
Older and you got the RSV.
Yeah, remember J&J, one and done.
RSV vaccine last year. Great, you're protected. You don't need
protected.
To get that repeated. Mm. Norovirus, the most common culprit of foodborne illness in this country. Hand washing, and staying home if you're sick. You certainly don't want to get more than one of these bugs at the same time. You're going to feel pretty crummy.
So here's the LA report. This is also on NBC, and they have Dr. Vin Gupta coming in. But they make it. They know that they're full of crap. They know what they're doing. They know that they are bending their knee to their big pharma overlords, get the shot. And so they put this package together, and the news model guy, he can't stop laughing about it. all into the segment.
What we eat? Things are gone.
What are you doing?
It's coming out of me like lava.
For real though, health officials say at least 80 people got sick with norovirus after eating raw oysters. Santa Monica Seafood, one of the vendors for the event, tells NBC News they found no evidence of mishandling, but officials are still investigating. Now, the FDA is warning that a bigger outbreak linked to oysters and clams originally from British Columbia were shipped to the country is ongoing, and they have since been recalled. NBC News medical contributor Dr. Vin Gupta joins us now. Dr. Vin Gupta, thanks for being with us. That was a bad choice to show that clip because it is not funny to have a norovirus. So let me just reset here. This is a nightmare. I've had norovirus before. Like, how quickly could something like this spread?
Gotti, good evening. I prescribe a glass of water for you. Something about norovirus is exactly that. It spreads quickly. Unfortunately, you know, cruise ships, we often hear about the cruise ship nightmare where norovirus is in one of, say, in the buffet or in the raw salad, and it spreads quickly. And part of the reason is it sticks onto our hands, it sticks onto food, and it's hard to kill. And so that's why we're seeing this in oysters. It's not surprising. It can happen from time to time. The fact that it's spreading, especially from these distributors, is frankly unsurprising. But unfortunately, it does mean a lot of people get really sick.
So this norovirus is it a seasonal thing? No, isn't it? Is it just it happens when it happens? I mean, where does it come from?
It just happens when it happens.
Well, it's happening in Canada.
The common cold, the flu, and RSV. With the colder weather and
more net pop of someone coughing.
Isn't that great? I love it.
The common cold, the flu, and RSV. With the colder weather and more indoor gatherings, respiratory viruses
Hold on a second. Stop the clip. So I would like somebody to find for me, somebody has archives of old shows. I would like to see one piece of evidence from a decade ago, just 10 years, not a lot, not 20, not 50, 10 years ago. Were anyone ever mentioned RSV?
Yeah, I don't think we have it.
I don't think you can find it from 5 years ago.
No. Here's one from 2016. Here's 2016. Let's see what this is. Hold on.
Party was only supposed to be for family and friends, but tens of thousands descended on a small town in Mexico Monday for a teenage girl's traditional 15th birthday celebration after the invitation video was accidentally posted publicly.
No, I'm sorry. That's RSVPs. No, here is one from...
RSVP.
I don't have anything before 2021. Not that I have in my clip archive, so I think
I don't think you'll find anything. Yeah. This is a bullshit deal.
Let's continue.
They just added it on there because they're going to have some they have the vaccination. So it's all about vaccinations. It's not about anything really.
That's right.
And that's, you know.
Play the clip.
The common cold, the flu, and RSV. With the colder weather and more indoor gatherings, respiratory viruses are on a gentle upswing across Canada.
A gentle upswing. That's the Canadian version of uptick.
And immunologists like Craig Jenny are worried.
So
what we're seeing across Canada is an uptick in a number of these infections.
According to the latest numbers from the Public Health Agency of Canada released today, COVID rates are holding steady, while RSV or respiratory syncytial virus and influenza are on the rise, pushing some Calgary hospitals over capacity.
There has been, at least in Alberta, a much reduced testing for infection. So I think when we're looking at actual confirmed cases, those numbers may be a little misleading.
Very young children and the elderly are the most likely to get seriously sick from these viruses. Among infants, RSV can lead to complications and hospitalizations, while influenza can quadruple the risk of heart attack and triple the risk of stroke among those 65 and up. And flu cases are expected to increase.
I feel there really is a lot less urgency.
Toronto pharmacist Serena Hanlon says a month ago she was administering flu or COVID shots every 15 minutes. That's changed changed now?
We're busier in October than we were compared to last year in October. And then in December, we noticed that it sort of just drops off on a cliff. People who want their vaccines have already had them.
With so many Canadians coming together for the holidays, Hanlon, Bogosh and Jenny all say it's important to try and limit the spread of viruses by avoiding gatherings if you're feeling unwell and getting vaccinated.
Yeah, get vaccinated. This, of course, is all over the news, and I could only find a 30-second clip of a really interesting big pharma news.
New this morning, the largest pharmacy chain in the United States is accused of filling unlawful prescriptions for opioids. The Department of Justice has filed a lawsuit against CVS for violating both the Controlled Substances Act and the False Claims Act. The filing alleges that over the past decade, the pharmacy knowingly filed or filled prescriptions that were not valid or legitimate. It's also accused of filling dangerous quantities of opioids or prescriptions written by those known to be engaged in so-called pill mills. CVS has denied those claims.
Shh, don't talk about that. Shh.
Well, back to the diseases. Yes. There's one that I don't think you caught in your listing.
Did I miss one? Did I miss a disease?
Yeah, the thing that this may have gotten by, this is pretty new. This is a plague of walking pneumonia.
Just in time for the holidays, a rise in cases of a contagious lung infection across the country is causing alarm, especially for parents of young children. Allie Rogan talks with an infectious disease specialist about what's behind the spike.
The colder months usually mean more time indoors and higher rates of respiratory illnesses like the flu and COVID. But now the CDC is tracking an uptick in cases of so-called walking pneumonia. The respiratory illness usually sickens school-aged children and teens, but this year toddlers are being hit the hardest.
Oh,
Dr. Donald Dumford is the infectious disease specialist at Cleveland Clinic. Dr. Dumford, thank you so much for being here. What is walking pneumonia, and how does it differ from other types of pneumonia?
How do I get it?
When we talk about walking pneumonia versus a more classic case of pneumonia, essentially it's typically causing a more mild course of illness. If you think about a typical case of pneumonia, you're going to see abrupt onset of symptoms, whereas with walking pneumonia, which is typically caused by a bacteria called mycoplasma, you're going to see kind of a gradual onset over a few days leading to the illness. So it's going to be a few days where you start to feel poorly, you start to get a cough, you start to get a fever, and really over about 3 to 5 days, you get a fever, headache, muscle aches, and then start to get a pretty bad cough with it.
Well, this is interesting. One of our pastor's kids at the church had walking pneumonia, and really was like, he wasn't feeling good for a couple days, and he just wasn't getting better. They went to the doctor. The doctor said, oh, you have walking pneumonia, got some antibiotics, and he was back on his feet. You know, it wasn't a huge deal.
Yeah, it's a walking pneumonia. You're going to walk. That's called walking pneumonia. You're wandering around. And boogie-woogie blues is the other half of that, which you don't get that often.
Boogie-woogie blues?
Yeah, have you ever heard the song Walking Pneumonia and the Boogie-Woogie Blues?
No, it's just foreign to me.
Oh, okay. It's probably, it is foreign to you.
Yeah, because...
The walking pneumonia. So let's go. I got these two more clips on it.
All right, let's go.
What do we know at this point about why toddlers and other young children are being affected so much this year as compared to previous years?
When you think about mycoplasma, typically we see that about every 3 to 5 years, there's a cyclical increase in cases. So normally, no matter what happens, every 3 to 5 years, you see a rise. We really didn't see that rise that we expected during the COVID pandemic. So I think right now, because we have probably a higher number of susceptible people, you tend to see that there's a lot of higher cases of severe illness, which is why we're seeing it a lot in the toddler population.
Room there with him, some crying baby.
Yeah, toddler. Got to get with toddler pops, not pops from toddlers. Shouldn't walking them. So I guess if you're a toddler, then you're walking around. So technically, it's possible.
Higher cases of severe illness, which is why we're seeing it a lot in the toddler population, along with
toddler
the classical school age population.
The toddler population.
This is clearly a new demographic. The toddler population. I love it. This is great. So soon it'll be the toddler community.
In the toddler population, along with the classical school age population, which is usually the population that is most severely affected.
How contagious is this?
It is pretty contagious.
Wow. Listen to that insert. Here in the script, you got to ask about contagiousness.
Which is usually the population cut that is it most now. Severely affected.
How contagious is this?
It is pretty contagious. So, yeah, the best way we look at this as far as the contagiousness is when you look at how it affects families. And if it enters a family, you actually expect that about 80% of the other kids in the family are going to get sick. About 40% of the adults are going to get sick. And probably, you know, all of us classically will get this probably three times in our lifetime. One time during our childhood, one time when we're adults, whether our 20s, 30s, 40s, and then probably one time when we're elderly.
So, of course, I have not heard John's clips, as we never do that. And so I'm hoping that in the final clip, we'll at least someone will ask the question, how concerned shall we be? And can we get a shot for it?
It turns out that the shot, no. I'm stunned by this myself because they have antibiotics.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of disappointed in the previous clips that you were playing because they were hinting around about mRNA shots for Noro, but they never came to any conclusion about it. But I think they're going to try to pull that stunt. That there's one for you.
Given that we're talking about a post-COVID spike here, are we seeing similar increases in other respiratory illnesses as well, or is it mainly confined to this one?
Yes, definitely. The other thing we've seen this year that has had a rather high spike in cases has been whooping cough, which is caused by a bacteria called Bordetella pertussis. And it's actually something we, most of us or all of us get vaccinated for when we get vaccinated for tetanus and diphtheria. Typically, that similarly will have an increase in the number of cases about every 4 to 5 years. But we've really seen a really high increase in the number of cases probably about 3 or 4 times what we would otherwise expect, probably because of that, having a lack of that increase in the number of cases and I guess the challenge to the population during the COVID years.
And what should parents be looking for to spot whether this is walking pneumonia or something more similar to the common cold?
Well, I think what you're going to see in your kids, you know, typically the common cold, you're really not going to have a fever with it. A kid's going to have a runny nose. They're going to have a cough, but they're going to see them otherwise. I mean, your kid with mycoplasma, they're more likely to be complaining of feeling achy, and they're going to seem a little more run down. And typically, it's going to be associated with a fever. And when that fever sort of persists a little bit longer than you would otherwise expect with a virus, that's when you might start to worry about mycoplasma. I think really whenever you see a child that's starting to act a little bit punky, starting to act a little bit run down, has a fever, it's time to call your pediatrician to check and see if they should get tested and if they would need antibiotics at that point.
This I didn't like how he kept saying mycoplasma. This sounds like a setup for something.
Mycoplasma. I don't even know what that is because it's been used as a generic term for unknown bacteria for years.
Mycoplasma are bacteria that can infect different parts of your body, your lungs, skin, or urinary tract. Depends on which type of mycoplasma bacteria is causing your infection.
Yeah.
This is from WebMD.
Yeah.
It's
almost a generic term for we don't know what the hell it is.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. By the way, not to belabor the pharmaceutical industry, but, you know, I made a couple of Ozempic jokes here and they were like, huh? They're like, what? And so it's not, the marketing has not really kicked in. But in the Netherlands, you know how they're marketing Ozempic? I'm going to tell you. So the Dutch princesses, the daughters of the king and queen who I met at the, remember I met him at the castle?
Yes.
They're a little chubby. You know, they're just chubby, the healthy, chubby girls. They are on Ozempic. And everyone knows about it. They're talking about, they're taking Ozempic.
That's the way to do it. Yeah. That's actually the way to do it.
It's a good way to do it. I think.
Yeah, that just convince everybody. That's the way to go.
Yeah. All right. I know you have a presentation on the Christmas driver, but before we get to that.
Christmas driver.
It was wonderful to follow this phony baloney shutdown nonsense, which, of course, we know is always phony baloney. It's been this way since the beginning of the show. One time Trump actually did shut down the government, but it's always, oh, just in time. And I loved this new trick, which was really interesting. Okay, so we strip everything out of the bill, and then Trump puts in a negotiating tactic. Oh, but we want to remove the debt ceiling. So, of course, whether it was purposeful or whether they were being authentic and genuine, of course, there's Republicans like Chip Roy and Massey thinking, oh, no, we can't do that. We can't allow you to print anything you want. Oh, okay, we'll just take it out. So all of a sudden, Trump is running the show, but all of a sudden he isn't running the show. Come on. It was so obvious what they were doing. Let's just get, we'll put in a couple things for the, you know, 100 million for the victims of the hurricanes. We'll put in some things here, there, and then for the farmers. And then we'll take out Trump's, oh, but Trump is, he's commanding everybody to do this. Well, it's okay. He just wanted this sign, want all the nonsense out, just continue until March so we can figure it out again. But the media had a very specific goal. They want so badly for President-elect Trump to get mad at Elon.
Yeah, and you're over there, and even by just a short period of time you were gone.
Yeah,
it's gotten worse.
Here's
they're going. I would just give my background. I don't have any clips.
Oh, I do.
But they're good. They have gone on and on and on about, oh, this is a bromance. They're going to break up. It's going to be really bad when it happens. And they got everything but the Deadpool. You know, they haven't done that. You haven't come up with any betting format. So when is they going to break up, the two of them? It's going to be nasty.
Well, I'll play the German Deutsche Welle news report, where they start to hint at, no, this is all Elon. It's all about Elon. Elon's running the show, not President Trump. Elon.
In the United States, lawmakers have approved a new spending bill to avoid a government shutdown. The Senate dropped normal procedure to fast-track a vote minutes after the midnight deadline had passed. Both Republican and Democrat lawmakers supported the new plan. It includes billions of dollars for disaster aid, farmers, and funding for the U.S. government until mid-March of next year. But it did not include a condition that President-elect Donald Trump had demanded, which is a change to the debt limit to allow the government to take on new debt. The White House says President Joe Biden will sign the plan into law. So just how difficult was it for Democrats and Republicans to finally find a compromise and pass the budget?
This was an unnecessary Herculean task to get people.
This is an American, so they bring an American guy on to do this.
To actually keep our government functioning here in the United States. Speaker Johnson, it was only on Tuesday, had first proposed this continuing resolution bill that had significant other pieces, including reducing prescription drug prices, restricting investments in China due to the essentially detente or Cold War that is happening, yeah, at least economically, with China at this point. But it was Elon Musk,
yes,
who jumped in, the shadow president himself, and said, made false statements about what was in the bill, and very likely had issues with the restrictions on the China investment, as his companies are heavily invested in China.
Oh, so that's what
this
it was
is
about.
The twist. They've been putting this on locally, mm-hmm, to PBS and L. It's, mm-hmm, Musk is cozying up to China. And he can't have any of that anti-China stuff in there. So that's the reason Musk was getting involved, because of China.
Here's the mini cut.
There are new concerns about Elon Musk's growing influence over Donald Trump.
And perhaps I should say President Elon Musk will be exerting more influence over the House Republican Conference.
But what is different here is Elon Musk having an influence on kind of the day-to-day operations and policy from the White House to Congress. He's a billionaire bully.
Elon Musk has a lot of influence with Trump right now.
It's not Donald Trump asking for this. It's very clearly President Elon Musk asking for this.
President Elon Musk. Oh, yeah. They want him to get mad at Musk so bad. So bad. They want it so bad. Here's
well, the real backstory here is that Musk has threatened, because he's got, so they know he's got more money than Soros.
Yeah, it's a primary,
and he's threatened to, first of all, he threatened to primary all the Republicans that voted for the bill, the original bill, the 1500 page bill. And then he posted recently that he's thinking about primarying Democrats with more moderate Democrats who are asshole Democrats. And so he's, so this is what the real threat is with Musk, is all his money. That,
oh yeah.
That he can finance, he can literally do what he says and not even put a dent in his net worth.
Here is ABC, who really laid it on thick, because, and this is before they had the deal, of course. And this was their main talking point for a while. Oh, but they're taking out cancer research for kids. Oh, these heartless bastards. Listen to the report they did.
Government shutdown, though, is not the only consequence of a failed funding bill. When Musk and Trump killed the budget deal, cancer research for kids became collateral damage. Damage families like the Goodmans understand all too well. When Nancy Goodman lost her 8-year-old son, Jacob, to an aggressive form of brain cancer, she decided to spend the rest of her life fighting for the research and treatments that could have saved him. She thought she had secured that funding, and then the tweets started.
Okay, so that was just normal. MSNBC, Alex Wagner. Oh man.
For anyone who might not know, this is Gabriella Miller.
I was diagnosed when I was 9, and you know, once you get cancer,
please pay attention to the music.
Kind of gotta be all grown up. And you don't really have a childhood. And, you know, less and less kids are going to have their childhood if awareness, if people don't raise awareness and raise funds.
A little over a decade.
Same guy produces St. Jude's commercials.
Same kid. Hold on.
A little over a decade ago, doctors discovered an inoperable tumor the size of a walnut in Gabriella's brain. Less than a year later, she passed away. But in the time that she had, Gabriella lobbied the federal government to fund pediatric cancer research so that other kids like her in the future could have a fighting chance. And the year after Gabriella's death, that funding got passed and President Obama signed it into law. But this year, this week, renewing that funding was one of the things Republicans thought was too porky and too much of a special interest. So it got cut.
These horrible people. Trump causes cancer.
It got cut from the continuing resolution. It didn't get cut from anything else.
Trump causes cancer. That is your kid and kids. This is so evil. And this is a dead kid. Oh, let's bring her up. Throw some. Get the music. You got the music? Yeah, I got the music. It's going to be a great piece.
That is, you're right.
Despicable. It's despicable.
Evil.
And
it's despicable. And that's MSNBC.
Mm-hmm. Then a funny thing happened on The View. As it pertains to President-elect Trump and Elon Musk and J.D.
Vance. President
Musk.
Child, so much is going on in the world. It's quite wonderful. As D.C. barrels towards yet another government shutdown, a bipartisan bill to keep the lights on was scrapped. And it has a lot of folks asking, who is in charge? Because I've been saying it for a while.
Yes, you have.
Yes, you have, girlfriend.
I think Elon Musk believes he's president. I do.
Well, you've been calling him vice president.
I've called him vice president. Yeah. I called him president because I don't know what JD is doing. I don't remember last time we even talked about JD.
You're right.
He's planning the presidency when he's going to get rid of Trump.
So you think it's Musk, Musk Vance?
Possible.
Hey, you know who? Stay away from the stairways. Because, you know, people put the leg out to trip you going down the stairs. Watch out.
Now, would you view that as a problematic statement that Whoopi made there? About harm to the president?
Was she threatening the president?
Yeah. Do you think that's a statement that is a problem?
not for her.
Well, the ABC lawyers thought so. They came back from the break.
Okay, I need to clean something up because my cat lays in wait for me on my stairs all the time. Oh, and that's what I was thinking of that. I wasn't trying to indicate that they were actually standing there with their legs out, hoping he would trip.
No, nobody wants anything done.
No,
it was
lighthearted, and it's the holidays. Come on.
My goodness. You did not mean that anybody should hurt the president.
No.
Of course not.
The thing about this show, there is no way not to step in poo. There's no way to do it. There's no way not to do it. So
yeah. ABC and Disney, they are afraid. After that step.
Yeah, they're making all kinds of changes. They dropped a bunch of episodes of some kids show. They have trans kids.
Mm.
They're completely. They looked at their numbers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That you're probably
and
right.
And they're saying, they have to be quick on the draw because ABC or Disney is a huge corporation. Got all kinds of little. I mean, if you look at their corporate structure, they just like hundreds of companies.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, they have to make these corrections. This shows these people have got to go. They have to somehow. I've always said I gave Whoopi 6 months, I think about a month ago. So she's got 5 months left.
Yeah.
Well,
who knows?
But she's gone. And then they have to get rid of Sonny Hostins. And then they enjoy. I guess makes the most money.
I don't know what they're gonna do with her. Does Joy make the most money?
I think
money?
She does. Yeah, really? I think she's the. Really? You know, she's been there the longest too.
Hmm. Bring back Barbara Walters. Is she still alive? Is she still alive, Barbara Walters?
Do I look her up? I don't know if she is.
All right. So this Christmas attack has been big news here, and I presume you have a presentation. Just looking at some of your clips.
Yes, I have a lot of clips, and I think it's been misrepresented in a lot of different ways.
For sure, considering what people are saying about it here. Yes.
What are they saying about it there? Just so I can.
Well, they're saying that the message. So the messaging. They're trying to make it sound like this guy was basically a right-wing nut job, and. If you look at the protests in Germany, if you look at what people are saying, no. They're all just like deport. They're like, get rid of everybody. They are sick of all of it. And do you know that most of these Christmas markets around Europe, they have barriers now because of this very issue? And this tiny little town, this tiny little market didn't have them?
No, they had. No, this is actually explained in the reports.
Oh, okay. All right, go.
They did have them.
Oh.
But
they weren't activated. Oh no!
They had them, but they had an ambulance lane that you could get through if you knew what you were doing. So, but they had them there too. But these markets—if people should look them up, Christmas Market Germany, and look at the photos. These things are elaborate and they're huge.
And there was, in one of these German markets before this happened, there was a whole Muslim protest against the Christmas market in Germany.
Yeah.
It's like, because they don't like it. Yeah.
Well, that's very suspicious too. There's no reason for that.
Mm-mm.
But let's start with, I got just a PBS. This is the Christmas market PBS. This is the general 57 second. This is all they had for the thing, and then I'm going to switch to the BBC where they actually try to analyze it, got it wrong, I think. But let's go with Christmas Market PBS.
Germans are mourning the victims of an apparent attack at a Christmas market. Church bells tolled in Magdeburg, Germany, at the exact time a man intentionally drove his car into a crowd of people last night, killing five and injuring more than 200. A 9-year-old child is among the dead. The suspect surrendered to police at the scene. Officials say he's from Saudi Arabia and has lived in Germany for nearly 20 years. A review of his social media accounts show he shared anti-Islamic statements and express support for Germany's far-right anti-immigrant political party.
It is now important that we clarify the situation and that this is done with the utmost precision and accuracy. Nothing must remain uninvestigated. And of course, we must understand the perpetrator, his actions, his motives, so that we can respond with the necessary criminal and other consequences. And we will.
Investigators say the attack may have been motivated by anger over Germany's treatment of Saudi refugees.
Okay.
So that summarized it is probably the way they all summarize it. And it's horse shit.
Mm-hmm.
But the BBC even went even further and did a huge elaborate thing. And this was over the weekend, and it was presented by our friend of the show, Helena Humphrey.
Is she a friend of the show?
Well, she follows us.
Oh.
But she obviously is not a friend of the show. She wrote this scathing complaint about us, or me, actually.
Does she still follow you?
Yeah. Really? I'm following on both LinkedIn and Twitter by her.
Huh. Is she taking our material?
No, she takes none of our material, believe me.
All right.
She, in fact, the one thing I had, kind of a semi-interaction with her. She was on LinkedIn, and I ran into her profile, and I said, she's following me. And she had her on her LinkedIn profile. And I know she had she, her on her Twitter thing, too. So I sent her a direct message linking to my essay that's on Substack about he, her, and how you can't get work if you do that shit because people see you as some sort of a nutball.
Uh-huh.
She never responded, said anything to me, but I noticed that after a month or so, she took it off. Mm. So that's
okay. So you have influence. Good job.
Yeah.
Good job. You're helping out the mainstreamers. Good job.
So she does this elaborate report, and BBC, and I think it completely misses the point, but they do the best job of missing the point by going deep into it. This is X Market 1 BBC.
At least five people were killed when a man drove through a crowd at high speed. And along with those five deaths, city officials say that 200 people have been injured, many of them seriously. But we can now name the suspect in the attack as Talib Al Abdul Mohsen. He is a 50-year-old doctor from Saudi Arabia. Officials say that he appears to have been motivated by resentment at the treatment of refugees in Germany rather than religion. The BBC has been told that the Saudi authorities passed on warnings about him. Well, German Chancellor Olaf Scholz has visited the scene. He's called what happened in Magdeburg, quote, a terrible act. There are questions about security after it emerged that the suspect drove through an entrance reserved for ambulances and official vehicles. Our correspondent Anna Foster is in Magdeburg.
As night fell, hundreds of people attended a vigil at the city's cathedral, a packed and somber affair. Some of the first responders were among the mourners. Chancellor Olaf Scholz sat next to Germany's president. 24 hours ago, this market was packed with people, but the laughter and celebration was cut devastatingly short when a car sped through the crowds, killing five people and injuring 200 more.
The car sped past us and the police ran after it. Other emergency services arrived, evacuated people, and diverted traffic. People were still panicking and screaming.
Yeah, that was bad.
All right. That was actually better. That little segment was better than the PBS report. Let's go to two.
We now know it used the rescue entrance to get into the square, a gap deliberately left for ambulances to have access. Police say the deadly rampage lasted 3 minutes. Armed police quickly arrested a man, a doctor, originally from Saudi Arabia, but living here for nearly 20 years. His motive is still under question.
As things stand at the moment, it looks as if the background to the crime could have been disgruntlement of the way Saudi Arabian refugees are treated in Germany. But what exactly is behind it is still under investigation.
Emotions are running high here. Alongside the sadness, there's an undercurrent of anger against politicians who some feel didn't make this place safe enough. Earlier today, Chancellor Olaf Scholz came to lay a white rose and promise an investigation.
Was für eine furchtbare Tat ist das?
It is a dreadful tragedy that so many people were killed and injured. We send our sympathy to those who are injured, and I express the solidarity of the entire country.
Well, in just the last few hours, around 100 far-right protesters gathered in the streets of Magdeburg. The march called for the remigration of immigrants living in Germany. The Christmas market attack will likely add to the debate over security and immigration before national elections in February, with opinion polls showing the far-right Alternative for Germany party is likely to perform strongly. And while a motive for the attack is still unclear, our security correspondent Frank Gardner has been looking into the suspect, Talib Talib al-Abdul Mohsen and alleged warnings from the Saudi government about him.
Yeah. I heard they had been warning about this guy.
Well, there's also another story where there's a friend of this guy, an Arab from another Saudi woman, who turned him into the cops, and they paid no attention to her commentary. She said that he's going to do this. And here's what, right at this point is where you start saying to yourself, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is a bull crap.
Yeah.
This guy supposedly is a right winger who's gave up on Islam, and he's irked at the German government for not treating other Saudis who come over who become atheists, basically. Mm. And not treating them right. And so he's going to plow into a Christmas market full of Christians that got nothing to do with anything. Something doesn't add up. But let's continue with this narrative with the next clip.
They say that they passed 4 so-called notes verbal. These are official diplomatic notifications that they sent from Saudi Arabia to Germany. I don't have the dates for them, unfortunately, but they sent 3 of them to German intelligence agencies and 1 of them to the German foreign ministry, warning, they say, about Talib Abdul Mohsen's extreme views that he held. Now, there are 2 sides to this. There is a view taken by at least 1 respected counterterrorism expert that I know of, who's saying that this is something of a bit of a disinformation campaign. He's even saying that this is the Saudis trying to blacken his name. Well, it's pretty black right now, obviously, but trying to basically say that here was somebody who was dangerous back then. Why? Because he was allegedly trying to help a number of people who had left Saudi Arabia and were either dissidents, political dissidents, or people who were trying to turn their back on their Islamic faith, Saudi Arabia being very much a monolithic, one faith country, Islam. And this man, Talib Abdul Mohsen, had left his religion, of his birthplace. So in Islam, you're not supposed to leave your religion. He has turned into somebody that the German Interior Minister, Federal Interior Minister, Ms. Faeser, has referred to as an Islamophobe. And certainly some of the texts that some of the tweets that he posted and that are being reported in German media are exactly that, Islamophobic. So there are 2 sides to this, but it does seem that the Saudi authorities were concerned about this man's extreme views.
So are they trying to make him sound like he's an AFD supporter? Is that what's going on here?
Yeah. This is the idea, it seems to me, is to make it seem as though he is an AFP, I guess,
AFD,
right?
AFD, Alternative für Deutschland.
Oh, yeah, okay, AFD. The right-wingers of Germany who are trying to...
Who, as we know, are Nazis. Yeah, they're Nazis, they're no good. They also very popular.
They're conservatives for all practical
very
purposes.
Very popular
but Nazis,
over there.
But, yeah, they are, actually. So they're trying to make that out. And I got 2 more of these little clips, and then I'll get to the one that's important, if you don't mind listening to these other ones. But this is, we can go to this one. This one's actually been renamed kind of differently. This was Xmas Market 4.
Well, joining me live now is Rebecca Schoenenbach, a counter-extremism consultant. Rebecca, thank you very much for being with us. I just want to begin by asking you, what do you make of the profile of the suspect? Is there anything that stands out to you?
Thanks for having me. What stands out most is that he seems to have suffered from a persecution complex. So a lot of
what?
His
he means
tweets
persecution.
Prosecution complex? Persecution.
Yes, he means persecution. Okay. But her English is so mediocre that she keeps saying prosecution.
Okay.
Complex. So a lot of his tweets on X, of his direct messages show that he felt prosecuted by the German state and even by the police. And he accused other secular Muslims or ex-Muslims of also persecuting him. And it is true that he defamed some of them, and they had to sue him in court, and they won. So it seems to be a mixture of him accusing others, then feeling that they go after him, feeling suppressed by the German state. That is the most significant thing that stands out, apart from his hatred of Islam and his fandom of Elon Musk and the far-right AfD in Germany.
Yeah, okay. So when they say ex-Muslims, in this context, is he talking about Muslims who are no longer Muslims or Muslims who tweet on X? A little confusing.
Well, it doesn't really make any difference when we start listening to this bull crap and this follower of Elon Musk. They throw that in. I could have put some sound effects in here to emphasize what she's going on about. But this is the last of these clips. And BBC goes through a really elaborate process here to try to sell us on this idea that this guy is some sort of a right-wing nut. Because they bring in that other guy, then they bring out this guy, and then they make it to try to come to some conclusion. He hates Islam and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And so play this, and then the kicker is coming.
So tell us more about that with regards to Elon Musk, for example. Wonder more generally when you're looking at kind of cases of extremism, and of course we don't know the motive here, but to what extent are we seeing, for example, conspiracy theories or misinformation and the amplification of that feeding into those kind of beliefs?
Well, he was an advocate for remigration, so he was a staunch critic not only of Islam but of any sort of migration to Germany, but particularly the migration of Muslims, of Muslim countries. And he favored people who were known as critics of Islam, not only of Islamism, but of Islam, such as Tommy Robinson in Great Britain.
Yeah.
He retweeted some of Elon Musk takes. He didn't particularly retweet all the right-wing extremism theories. So it does not seem that his whole worldview was right-wing extremism. He also tweeted a lot about sexual abuse. He tweeted a lot about women's rights, some facts that are really to be criticized for anybody advocating for women's rights, but he mixed it with theories, with conspiracy, but most outstanding were his own perception of the German state, of the treatment of refugees, of the German police, and he even accused his own lawyers to have betrayed him.
Oh, man. I love the heavy-handedness on Musk. That's pretty good. I like that.
This is like a worldwide effort. These things are all seem to be worldwide.
Well, Musk, they're all afraid. They're afraid of him because they see what he's his power. He's King Musk. He's the president.
So then I run into this, and we've had, you know, even a dude named Mohammed, I think, got this completely wrong. Mm. This woman who is fairly famous on the social, she's an Iranian German named Maral, and she does these kinds of takes on things. And this clip is the Xmas attacker Taqiyya, which is a technique used by Shia Muslims to lie. And she outlines what this guy's really all about as far as she's concerned. And this is the only thing that rings true.
I want to address the misinformation spreading about Talib al-Abdul Mohsen, the terrorist behind the Christmas market attack in Magdeburg, Germany. Contrary to some claims, he was neither an atheist nor an ex-Muslim. Talib falsely portrayed himself as an atheist, ex-Muslim, and victim of the Saudi regime while simultaneously accusing the German government of prosecuting female Saudi asylum seekers and promoting an agenda to Islamize Europe. His identity as a radical Shia Muslim is evident, even from his name, which explains his hostility towards Saudi Arabia and his wicked jihadi agenda. Leaked tweets and chat screenshots now circulating on X reveal his connection to radical Islamist networks, including accounts linked to ISIS. And ex-Muslim organizations and activists on X have also reported receiving direct threats from Talib. Ask yourself, why would an atheist threaten ex-Muslims? It doesn't make sense. This is a classic example of taqiyya, an Islamic practice that allows Muslims to lie and deceive to advance Islamic goals or agendas. Talib's false narrative designed to sow division, chaos, and terror reveals the psychopathy and manipulative nature of a jihadist. His actions seek to destabilize and confuse society, to paralyze any meaningful response to radical threats. By portraying himself as a victim of Sunni Saudi Arabia, who he, from his radical Shia perspective, considers fake Muslims, he furthers both his jihadist goals and his sectarian battle. Individuals like Talib have no loyalty to earthly life. Their sadomasochistic lives are entirely devoted to preparing for Judgment Day, where the infidel will finally suffer eternal torture and hellfire, while they will be rewarded in paradise for their earthly sacrifices, complete with the infamous promise of 72 virgins. Without a doubt, Talib is not an atheist. For terrorists like him, life is a temporary means to serve his violent apocalyptic vision of divine will.
Well, I say that makes sense.
It not only makes sense, and people should look up Taqiyya, which is spelled T-A-Q-I-Y-Y-A, which is a practice that was discussed quite a bit after 9/11, and it has more to do with Shia Muslims than it does the Sunnis. And it is a practice of lying for purpose. And this guy, she goes on in her particular, after this is released, somebody put together a thread of her discoveries on both different chat rooms and elsewhere of all his commentaries. They're all radical. They're all extremist Shiite stuff.
And
this narrative of him being a right winger, he's a left winger.
Completely.
His being a right winger is just bogus. This whole story is a complete cover up of what's really going on here that they don't want to talk about.
Wow. And that was still in her BBC interview, that bit about Taqiyya? Or was that
something
else?
No, this is separate. This
completely
was a separate.
Okay.
This was a standalone.
Wow.
This woman's standalone. That wasn't on BBC. No, the BBC's going with the right winger, Musk.
Yeah.
Trump's bad. I mean, Helena Humphreys is a Trump hater, so she'd be fitting right in with this, no problem. And the whole BBC narrative was just to make this a part of the cover-up.
Wow. Wow. Now, it's also possible it's just completely stupid, and they just immediately think, oh, X, Twitter, Trump, blah.
Musk. Don't forget Musk.
Well, I actually have two quick clips, also from the BBC.
The best guesstimate that you can make, looking at what he has been communicating over the last couple of years, is that he really belongs into this conspiratorial narrative category of extremists, which had been growing quite significantly since the corona epidemic, and social media companies are really not doing anything against those people. They are not quite effective in preventing Islamist terrorism content, which they know best, but conspiratorial narratives such as this, especially individualized conspiratorial narratives, because he also felt personally persecuted by the German police, is something that these companies simply don't look at. And the German security forces neither have the legal mandate nor the resources to monitor the entire internet all the time.
Oh, so because the narrative here is because Musk fired the trust and safety team, then no one could figure it out. Yeah, but no one was paying attention. They should have taken his tweets down. Let's just blame X.
Yeah, but I mean, even if you had monitored the internet and seen his conspiracy theories, you wouldn't think they would lead to a violent act like this, would you?
Well, not necessarily, but he did say he is going to do an attack. He did say he's going to take revenge. So there were clear formulations. But the problem is, and this is going to be always a difficult thing of assessment for the security forces to go over, unfortunately, because the big social media companies, in this case X, where all of this material is, have not gotten better, but they reduced their content monitoring capabilities and investments, you have so much hatred and so many fantasies of violence on the internet that it's really hard to distinguish what is just a person that is disturbed and just lives disturbed ideas out on the internet, and which one of those is a person that then gets into a car and plows through a Christmas market.
I take your point that there were some worrying signs online. Basically, he was anti-system. Is that the sort of broadcast?
Anyway, blah, blah, blah. So I really like your analysis of this. And they're just running the other direction. They're like, hey, you know, Musk, he doesn't check stuff. And if he hadn't fired everybody, then this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, it's his fault. Somehow it's President Musk's fault.
Yeah, that's really bad. Jeez. That's really bad.
It's really bad. The mainstream media is not doing its job, but they're not supposed to do their job. They're supposed to sell drugs.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So, you know, they get you in the right mood. You go take some, you know, get nervous and all worked up. Yeah. I mean, I have some TikTok clips we can play in the second half of the show, but where people are all worked
well,
up.
Well, hold on. I'm going to set you up for your TikTok clips before we take a break. And we have a long donation segment because we have two shows and people two supported shows. Both shows. That was very nice. I have a couple of TikTok clips here. Where are my TikTok clips? Because, you know, we're coming down to the wire.
Wait, what?
No, I don't have TikTok clips from TikTok. Oh. I have clips about TikTok, which will set you up for TikTok. You see what I'm doing here?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
I'm waiting for you to finally cave.
Good luck. Good luck. Where's my TikTok clips? Hold on, it's got to be. Oh, I'm sorry. Here I am trying to set you up big. Let me see TikTok. Oh yeah, okay. This is under. What is this under? Oh, how am I? The problem is it's so small on this screen that I just can't see it anymore.
Your eyes are going.
Well, there's that. Big tech. No, I had it under. This is maddening. I can't actually see it. I know I stuck them in here. Here we go. Okay, I'm sorry. ABC Good Morning America.
And of the battle over TikTok is headed to the Supreme Court. The justices agreed to hear the social media app's challenge to a law that could ban it in the U.S. starting next month. It's sparking outrage online.
Outrage.
Chief legal analyst Dan Abrams here to break down the case.
Outrage.
Good morning. This is kind of a complicated case. Congress has ordered ByteDance, the Chinese company, to sell TikTok. ByteDance is challenging the law. So who's got the better argument? Who's likely to prevail?
So the government probably has the stronger argument going into this. The argument from ByteDance or TikTok is this is a First Amendment issue, right? They're stopping us from engaging in free speech. The government saying this isn't about speech. This is about regulating a foreign government who is gathering data on Americans. And remember that as a practical matter, foreign individuals aren't allowed to own broadcast licenses, for example, in this country already. And so their position is this really isn't significantly different than that. It just depends on how you look at the case. Remember, there's also the TikTok users also filed a separate lawsuit, also part of this is being heard.
Let's just reiterate the no agenda stance on this, because it's not like TikTok is gathering any more data than Google or Meta or X, for that matter. Don't forget
probably
X.
Less.
Probably less. And this is, in our mind, looking at the bill, who co-sponsored the bill, who got the most money from, in fact, Google more than anybody, were senators, how's the senator, congressman, who got a lot of donations for their, you know, for their campaigns from Google. And this has always been about competition. These guys are eating Silicon Valley's lunch. They've got a whole different algo, which is really what people want to get rid of, because this algo works. Like, you know, people are loving the TikTok. So this is nothing about that.
And I should mention, based on that clip you just played, broadcasters are licensed by the government.
Yes.
The social media networks are not licensed and they're not subject to the same rules and regulations. And so to make that analogy, which lawyer did, is bullcrap.
Well, I'm thinking, so there is a, the Supreme Court has, because I got an analysis from Rob, the constitutional lawyer, the Supreme Court has said, okay, look, you can come in on the 10th of January. Everyone has to write their 13,000 word essay. So something is going to go down. We're not quite sure what, and if the Supreme Court will look at all of this and have an opinion before the January 19th deadline. I'm thinking Trump is using this as a chit because he doesn't like how Silicon Valley has certainly Google and things that how they portray him. There's a lot of personal issues he has. He just doesn't like them per se. So he may be using this as a chit or a chip against them. I got two more short clips. The court is moving fast, though.
Okay, so the court will hear the case, what, 9 days before the deadline to sell. They've chosen not to pause the law. So what do you read into that? And what about the TikTok users? What if the ban does go into effect?
Yeah, it seems pretty clear the court's moving quickly. They've expedited this. I'd expect something from them in the relatively near future. TikTok users' accounts are not going to get zapped, right? They're not going to just go away. TikTok's still going to be there. The question is going to be, who can see it? Who can use it? How can they use it? Those are the sorts of questions.
That's different.
What?
Yeah. Who can see it?
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I don't know.
I can use it and you can't?
I don't know.
I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Let's listen to the last clip.
And we know that Donald...
But by the way, wait. That's a very... Whatever... Because of what we just said right there, that shows that the analysis they're doing stinks.
And we know that Donald Trump met with the TikTok CEO this week at Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, no.
He said he had the warm spot now for TikTok. Is there anything he can do with this out of his hands?
So January 19th, this goes into effect. He takes office January 20th. But he still could have a big impact. Number one, he could tell his attorney general, don't enforce this at all. So that could be some level of reassurance. He could also seek to try and get Congress to repeal it. He could also try and delay it. So he has some options here if he decides to be on TikTok's side.
But did he want to ban it at one point?
He did, correct. In his first administration, by executive order, tried to ban it. Seems he's changed his position a bit.
What do you think? What do you think at this point? What's going to happen?
I think it's a free speech issue, period. Mm. And it's just it's also anti-competitive.
Well, what they're
saying, which is what your point is, which is the anti-competitive nature of it, because it kicks ass. And so this is what the real issue is, because, oh, God, these guys are eating our lunch. And God knows what else can happen. I mean, we're already going to have trouble in our search engines because of the damned AI stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys are freaked. And so they're looking for help. Let government help us. Help us stay in business because we're incompetent boneheads.
Talk. TikTok.
All right, everybody. Time for John's TikTok clips of the day.
TikTok clips of the day.
What you got?
Start with that. I got four of them. Actually, five, to be honest about it.
Boy.
I'm going to start with this one, which is one that's... Gee, it's already past due because of this guy. There's some jerk that's... this is not under talk, but talker. This is the dude. Blip, and this is a guy who comes on, and he's a Trump hater.
Oh God!
And he just
John, hold on a second. This is a 2 minute TikTok clip.
It's worth it.
All right,
it's the only long clip I have today.
Oh man! All right, set it up.
This guy is going to tell us that that Trump's not going to get in office because this is if it wasn't Jamie Raskin was going to stop him, but. But there's going to be something that's going to happen on the 20th, and that's going to prevent him. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I guess I recorded this like day before the 20th, and now what is the date today? I don't know. It's
22nd. Yes,
22nd, and it hadn't happened. But okay, there's a backup plan, and here's what we're going to do. And this guy is such a glib. He's kind of like a working class looking guy. But he's so glib and convinced that. Trump got in through some nefarious means, and everybody hates him, and we're going to fix it.
Guys, don't forget, it's we the people, okay? We have executive order coming out, 13848, right? It's going to be implemented. It's been out. Donald Trump helped create it, and it's going to come back to bite him in the ass because it what it does is it says how we have to proceed when we realize that there has been outside interference in our elections. There definitely has been. They're going to reveal that on the 20th of December, because 45 days from November 6th brings us to December 20th, which is 6 days from today. So this coming Friday. So have a great weekend. Do your laundry. Hang your stuff out if you can. Change the sheets to your bed. Go grocery shopping. Get everything set up. Go to church tomorrow or don't. Pray at home. Hold hands. Love the ones you're with. Be good to yourselves. And let's get our country back, right? Next week, the Friday, I have a feeling this executive order 13848 will be implemented. And if not, a month from then, December 20th to January 20th, the day of the inauguration, we, the people, are going to have to show up in Washington and have this guy step down. The 3% rule states that if you have 3% of a world's of a group of people's population, 3% of a particular population, if they gather in mass, they can change everything. So we have 330 million Americans. 10% of that is 33 million. And what's a third of that? 11 million. 11 million of us have to show up on Washington, D.C. on January 20th and have this guy step down. He'll see 11 million people, talk about a crowd. He'll have a coronary and he'll have to step down. We got to do it. And we can't depend on the people out west. God bless. But for those of us here in New Jersey, New York, Massachusetts, Long Island, Connecticut, everybody, we got to converge on Washington. Black, white, trans, LGBTQ2, drag queens, peacefully, cohesively, we're going to meet and have this guy step down on January 20th. That's our failsafe.
I would pay good money to see 11 million trans and drag queens show up in Washington. I could sell tickets to that one.
I would too, actually. Yeah.
Executive Order 13848 imposing certain sanctions in the event of a foreign interference in a United States election. All right, so I guess that didn't happen. Ah, bummer.
Okay. So this delusional character is, you just have to wonder, because he's dead. He's very sincere. But what, you know, this is what goes on that side. It's the same thing as here's the talk 2025 gal.
How does it feel to those people who voted for Donald Trump to know that he is now accepting the fact that he is, in fact, the endorser of Project 2025? I'm not sure what other evidence you needed. I mean, we all told you. He told you. Also, his name is listed in the document hundreds of times. And not only that, there were video footage of him endorsing the Heritage Foundation and their little Project 2025 manuscript, which is now your new Bible. Get used to it. I mean, he literally said to you, hey, if you vote for me this time, you'll never have to do that again. Here we are. Just a reminder, Hitler was a product of democracy. Democracies really only work, friends, if the people in charge are not lunatics and they follow the rules. And Donald Trump is, in fact, a fucking lunatic. And thank you so much. I'm so excited for the next 4 years of my life.
You know, these people are the last of the Mohicans. They're dying off. I mean, you know, they're just, they're trying, desperately trying to get some clicks and some likes.
Last of the Mohicans.
I don't think this is going to...
That's a good, interesting analogy. Hmm. Well, here's Rosie O'Donnell.
Well, there's that.
What can we say about Elon Musk? How did this happen? How is this allowed to happen? How is the richest man in the world allowed to buy the presidency? How? And where are the scholars? And where are the lawyers? And where are the poets and the political commentators who are going to not normalize this insanity? It is absolutely insane. Insane. And those Tesla cars are so ugly.
She throws that in gratuitously at the end.
She should move to the Coswolds with Ellen. Go live there. The weather's great. Yeah. The weather's great. All right.
So to get off the Trump Musk theme, now we got the generalized TikTokers that have dumb things to say. And we'll start with the Gen Z idiot.
To know, how does it feel to those people who voted for Donald Trump to know that he is now accepting the fact that he is, in fact, the endorser of Project 2025? Oh, I'm not sure what other evidence you needed. I mean, we all told you. He told you. Also, his name is listed in the document hundreds of times.
Okay.
And
skip this one. This is actually basically the same clip.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's not the one I wanted.
Here's
Let's go.
Kicker.
This is the,
here's
this
your
the
kicker.
Last one.
This is the kicker, everybody. Get ready. John.
This is a woman. This is a
week.
Woman, guy, gal, he, they, she, it, I don't know. Got blue lips, the blue lipstick, fat, and trigender.
Trigender. Okay, here we go.
I am trigender, which means like a triangle, I have three genders. Male, female, and non-binary. And the difference between trigender and gender fluid is that I feel all three of these genders at the same time, all the time. It doesn't ever shift or change, or I feel one gender more strongly than the other, like gender fluid tends to be. Also, I should recognize and accept that a lot of people don't see non-binary as a third gender. They see it as something completely separate from the binary of male and female. But for me, it's like a third gender, or I guess you could call it a third identity.
Oh, John. Hey, you know, please, I'd ask everybody to not encourage John telling him these clips are great on email, because it only gets more of this. Yes?
I'm sorry you dropped out.
Oh, I'm asking people not to encourage you. Can you hear me?
Well, you've noticed that people are encouraging me. Yeah, you've noticed this.
Yeah, they need to stop this. They need to stop this because this is hurting the show at this point.
It's hurting the show.
It's hurting the show, man.
It's killing the show.
Tina was actually
Well, here's a clip that's similar but not the same.
But wait, there's more?
Well, this is not really a TikTok clip, but it's a good clip that's along the same dumb lines.
Okay.
This is Daniel Baldwin on the Diddy tapes.
Look at Diddy, for instance. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at him. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at... He has videos. He has videos of the parties. Now, what I've heard, which I don't know how much of it is in mainstream media, I don't really follow the story that much.
Sure.
But what I've heard from friends that are attorneys, friends of mine, that have represented me before, agents and so on, is there's a bidding war going on right now.
Oh.
They're driving that price up because if you want your client and your famous actor to not be involved, or famous singer to not come out, here's the price. And that they're just selling to the individuals that are in those. This is what I heard. They're selling those videos. So if you're Tommy X, and Tommy X is a big, big movie star, and he was at some of the Diddy parties. He was in one of those bedrooms with three other men, and he's happily married to a woman, and blah. Tommy doesn't want that video to come out. He does not want it to come out. Same thing for Jeffrey Epstein. Now, the interesting thing about the Epstein and the theory about Epstein is we know he filmed people for sure on that island. He has a lot of movies, a lot of films of people that are very, very powerful political figures, and entertainers, business people. So, do you really believe that Jeffrey Epstein killed himself? In
of course not.
Of course not. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so there's other theories that he's in Lebanon. He never died at all. That having the weight of owning those films right now over people. So will Donald Trump release those films?
Oh,
I believe Donald Trump probably has a lot of friends that are in those videos, too. I don't know if it behooves him to release them either. But what happens if iconic African Americans, or iconic Japanese Americans, or iconic Anglo Americans, former presidents, you know, so what happens if they're in those videos? What does that do to the herding of the sheep? I mean, because I believe it, that's exactly what we're experiencing.
Oh, man. Does he have a podcast now? Is that the level we've gone to with Hollywood? Daniel Baldwin has a podcast.
Out of control. I blame you.
And what Tommy are we talking about? Tommy Lee Jones, Tommy Cruise, Tommy Lee. Come on, man. Hey, with that, I'd like to thank you for your courage. Say in the morning to you, the man who put the C in the Christmas driver. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. John C. Dvorak.
You, Mr. Andrew Curry. In the morning, all ships at sea, boots on the ground, feet in the air, subs in the water, and all the dames and knights out there.
In the morning to the trolls who are hanging out in the trouble room. We have 2068. Wow. It's a Sunday, which means we're above average. Am I right?
Hello?
Yeah. Normally it's
we're 400 low.
Oh, I thought Sunday was always low.
This is like every show. This is like a Gavin Costello bit that never ends.
There it is. Well, it's Christmas week. People are on vacation. I mean, okay.
A lot of people are traveling, and there's a lot of inclement weather.
Yes. And, we take our time out of the week to do the show. I mean, I slept everything. We're over
this
here.
By the way, that low number is the reason if you watch Fox or any of these networks every one of the A-list hosts, all the top guys, they're all on vacation. The B-listers and the C-listers are in there doing the shows because of that number. It's down 20% or so, 25% maybe, not 20, more closer. And that's enough to click the "I'm going on vacation" button. But we don't do that.
No, we don't.
Because these 2,000 people, even though it's not the 2,400 we normally get, those 2,000 people are valuable to us.
They're C-listers.
We don't take them for granted.
They're the C-listers. No, we don't take you for granted.
Well, they're not getting C-list material from us. We always do the A-list premium content.
That's right. No nonsense. No nonsense. That's right. And they are, of course, listening at trollroom.io or on any of those modern podcast apps. I've noticed, by the way, do not go to podcastapp.com. It's podcastapps.com. There's some
apps, plural.
There's some wonky podcast app at podcastapp.com, which is a piece of crap.
No, your podcast apps?
Apps, yes. That's where you can find.
And the podcastapp.com is no good.
No, podcastapps.com, where there's over 70 apps and services you can use for the modern podcast, which, of course.
Well, that's scandalous.
It's very scandalous. Yeah, I noticed that. People are like, "Hey, man, this thing sucks." Like, what are you using?
Well, talking about scandalous, I guess somebody has cloned my Twitter site and put it up on Blue Sky.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's, with the same art and everything. It's just, and real Dvorak. My handle on Blue Sky is John C. Dvorak.
Yeah, it's a security risk, really, because they what they did is they scammed Comic Strip Blogger out of $333. It's horrible. He finally donated and he got scammed. It's no good. It's no good. Blue Sky is no good. It's a security risk, honestly. Anyway, so that's where you can get those modern podcast apps. And yes, we always bring you premium content. And again, thank you to Strokey Bill for bringing premium content in the last episode. It was very well done. That's a great example of time, talent, and treasure. So we have multiple ways you can send the value back to the show. We give you the value. It's there. We just throw it at your feet and you take it and run with it. And if you feel that you got value out of it, send something back to us. Again, time, talent, treasure. And we want to thank Nick the Rat, who brought us the artwork for episode 1722. Now, this was old artwork, right? This is very old artwork.
It's from about, I think, 20.
No,
it's 20. From 2021, I think.
Yeah, and it was the fear.
It was like 3 years old.
Yes, it was the fear mask. And John went trolling around on noagendaartgenerator.com to get a perfect piece of art. And he gave me three options. I thought this was the best, hands down. It was so apropos for the episode. It was great. And we look forward to choosing a piece of art today, once again, from our No Agenda artists at noagendaartgenerator.com. And we appreciate the work that these artists do. It truly is magnificent. Now, we always like to thank everyone who donates.
It's good stuff.
It's very good. Everyone who donates over $50. And we have 50 up to the executive or associate executive producers. We do name and amount only. Typically, this is a note that we feel is worth reading. We always read the notes from our executive and associate executive producers. By the way, I do want to thank Johnny O. And he said I could read this. He says, decided on doing a recurring donation. We encourage this very much at noagendadonations.com. I was paying to be verified on X and thought, why? Why? I have 169 followers. And 150 are probably bots. No one gives two shits what I have to say. So why give Elon my $12 a month? I'd rather give it to the best podcast in the universe. Thank you, Johnny O. That's the spirit. That's exactly what we need.
$12 a month, yeah, that's a lot.
Appreciate that. So $200 and above, you get an associate executive producer credit, which is a real credit. You can use it in Hollywood circles until they all are exposed on the Diddy tapes.
Literally.
Yeah. And we'll read your note. And of course, you can use that credit on imdb.com, all kinds of funky places. You can also just put it on a business card and present it at the freak off. Hey, I'm an associate executive producer. Let me in. And $300 above, you become an executive producer, and we read your note as well. John, you're going to have to read the first one because I'm on the laptop, and this note is so long, it literally will not fit on my screen. And I'm sure you're going to truncate this one. It's a nice donation because it's an Instanite from Singy Detlefson, who lives in Henderson, Nevada. $1,000.
Yeah, hang on 1 second so I can blow it up.
Yeah, it was impossible for me to get into it. It was very, very long.
Okay, this is from, you have the name of the person?
Yeah. It's Singy Detlefson in Henderson, Nevada, $1,000.
Okay, I guess because I have to double click on this because this actually blows up my spreadsheet, but I can at least get started. I started listening, he or she writes, I'm not sure, to you guys back in 2016 when a friend, Teddy, punched me in the mouth. Please call him out as a douchebag. We got a
douchebag.
I can still vividly recall switching between listening to No Agenda and NPR. This is interesting.
Mm.
On my commute to work at Amazon in Seattle.
Mm.
Your media deconstruction opened my eyes to the lies. Russiagate, he has in parentheses, of the National Treasure, and I've never gone back. Well, good for you. In 2020, I left corporate life at Amazon after 6 years and went full-time with my wife in our dietary supplement business, Wholesome Story. Although I loved my time in Amazon, I still remember my final drive leaving Amazon and screaming freedom in the style of Mel Gibson from the movie Braveheart. We didn't end up like him.
Nope.
Owning our own business, it has been the greatest blessing. I own my mind and my time. Wholesome Story is a market leader in the I know how to pronounce this.
Inositol.
It's in Inositol category.
Inositol, I think.
Which mainly helps women with polycystic ovarian syndrome, PCOS, the world's leading cause of infertility. And it goes on about that. Trump's election and the appointment of RFK Jr. can hopefully remove the tape over our mouths and allow more women to find out natural options to support their bodies. Canada has no such limits so long as you have clinical trials, and I hope the U.S. adopts a similar strategy. In addition to the woes of supplements, I'm actively advocating for change in how the U.S. deals with foreign e-commerce sellers. To put it bluntly, we're exporting our cash to China faster than you can imagine. Yes, I think we've discussed that. I recently wrote an article titled E-Commerce Wars and How the U.S. is Losing. You can find it somewhere on Medium, medium.com at shingle or Shanghai / e-commerce wars. And okay, well, that.
Well, he has a pitch further down to purchase supplements from their website.
With this Instanite donation, please knight me Sir Shanghai, is S-H-I-N, Shanghai, protector of the Moonies, a story for another time, and add some coffee ice cream to the round table, which is quite tasty, by the way.
Yes.
Karma for the U.S. and the world. Further, if anyone wants to purchase supplements from our website, www.wholesomestory.com, wholesomestory.com. Use the code ITM15 and save 15%. Thank you all for what you do, and Merry Christmas.
Yes. Shanghai. Yes, and he did, in the beginning, ask for a de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
Thank you, Shanghai. Coffee ice cream has been ordered. We go on to, No Agenda Shop. Hey, No Agenda Shop, it's been a while.
Yeah, we got to get them more business.
Yeah, although they do come in with a cool $851.74. And this is basically a donation from, it's a cut, it's undetermined. We have no formal agreement with them. They always make sure the artists whose artwork is used get paid when people buy from No Agenda Shop. Except no imitators. There's like No Agenda gear and other things. NoAgendaShop.com. That's the only one that we sanction. NoAgendaShop.com. They're in Gitmo Nation, Georgia. And they say, sorry for the delay in our most recent contribution. The new human resource in my life has pushed me overboard, but I'm slowly regaining control of the ship. Luckily, you are still here to cure me of the mainstream media malaise. No jingles, no karma, and Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you, and congratulations on the new human resource. That's nice.
Sir Tyler in Anchorage, Alaska, 34375, which I believe is 33333 plus the added fees.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, please keep up the great work. You two are proof that, one, if I believe in you and you believe in me, then together we can prove that 1 + 1 = 3.
Hey now.
Merry Christmas, Gitmo Nation, from Tyler Systems, LLC, your AI workflow and automation sweatshop in Alaska. Another donation coming for Sunday. Every time Sam Altman opens his mouth, more of his clients open up the business for competing bidding. If you're skeptical of AI, Adam,
yep,
and insist it do something productive, ha, and useful, shool me a note. Shoot me a note sometime. Tyler, T-Y-L-E-R at TylerSystems.com. So all you AI guys can do this. North to the future, Sir Tyler in Alaska. I may ask him to do some
AI work for you. You got some?
No, I'm thinking of it. I got ideas.
We need no agenda agents. We need agentic AI for no agenda.
That would be good.
David McKeown, I think. McEown, Salt Lake City, Utah, 343.
Wait. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah.
343.
Yep.
Do we have a
delay? Keep talking. Pay attention to me.
Well, you're Tourette's-ing on me. 343.75 is probably the 33 plus the fees. Dude, a.k.a. A joint. Newish to no agenda. First time donating. Well, let's...
You've been de-douched.
Limited value in the show, but not my Fiat tickets. Yeehaw! 400 more years. Okay. David, thank you very much.
And with the hint, Sir Tyler's second donation, he said he donated Sunday and Monday. $343.75, and the previous note applies.
Okay. Sir Don, thank you very much, Sir Tyler. Appreciate that. Sir Don is next with a 333.33 plus fees from Chandler, Arizona. In the morning, Merry Christmas to you and yours. No jingles, no karma. But I do believe this donation makes me a baron. If it pleases the peerage committee, I would like to henceforth be known as Sir Don, Baron of Chandler. Love is lit, and I think we're good. We're good on that.
Grant Schuler in Cincinnati, Ohio, 343.75, which is again the 333.33. And no jingles. No, he's got no note, so he gets a double up karma.
You've got double up karma.
Sir Rick is in Arlington, Washington, 333.48, and he sent us a note, which I will read. Dear John and Adam, having reached the contribution level for Duke, I'm submitting my application for title change from Earl to Duke. Approved. Let me henceforth be known as Sir Rick, Duke of Washington, minus Seattle and the rest of those crazies in King County. Having reached this status, I've realized that I've married way below my station to a mere dame. Therefore, future donations will be shifted from Sir Rick to Dame Becky in the interest of marital bliss. John is always complaining about my detailed accounting, so I've managed to fit it into one page on the reverse side of this missive. All the best. Keep up the good work. No jingles, no karma, Sir Rick. P.S. Dame Becky and I have only ever had one fight. It started July of 1987, and I'll let you know when it's over. Folder, great hair, love you, mean it, no homo. Ah, thank you very much, brother. Good deal.
Let's see. It sounds about right.
Yep.
We're going to have trouble. He's going to come in as Sir Rick. These are bank checks. Usually they're $69.96 month after month, which adds up.
Mm.
Alexander Grudardo.
I think Grutadaro
in Rochester, New York, 333.33. Adam, it was nice to meet you and Tina.
Oh.
During our flight, this is your buddy.
This is the guy who yelled this in the bathroom. This is
eating the dogs.
Yeah, this is him.
Adam, it was nice to meet you and Tina during our flight from Amsterdam to Florence. You were both so delightful to chat with. As I said, I'm fairly new to the show. A friend got me into it just over a year ago, but I haven't missed it one since. He hasn't donated yet, so I'm sure this public call-out will motivate him to get his own de-douching.
Douchebag.
Been traveling, so I haven't listened to the Thursday show yet, but I can't wait to remind to be reminded of all the BS we were fed over the past almost 5 years of COVID nonsense. Thank you both for your courage and for keeping us from getting spun up as we have all those psyops thrown at us. Yes, there's a lot of them. So also, please thank Tina for my wife and I. We really enjoyed hanging out at Baggage Claim. Merry Christmas or Buon Natale. Buon Natale. We are here in Italy. I hope to see you around town. Could I please have an airport bathroom? They're eating the dogs due to climate change combo and a de-douching. Alex and Annie in Florence, Italy, from Rochester, New York. Oh, that's sweet.
They're eating the dogs
due to climate change.
You've been de-douched. Ah.
Well, that's fun. Ah, that's not. Hey, I'm working, man. See, I got him to donate.
Yeah, that was. That's
good.
That's good.
That was good. Jason, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 33333, executive producer title for you, sir. Thanks for years of informative and entertaining amygdala treatments. I enjoyed reminiscing about COVID hysteria on Thursday's podcast. I think it's a great reminder of the need for amygdala health awareness. Christmas plus children heartstring pitch. I want to invite any listeners willing to help my daughter's youth group for their service trip this summer. We even welcome those simply wanting a tax deduction. The crew is putting faith into action by doing acts of service here in the greater Milwaukee area and will take a trip to Alaska to serve through Thirst Missions this summer to impoverished families and Native Alaskans. Our church website, anchorfalls.org, has a giving link. And if you include No Agenda Gift or some reference to No Agenda in the note, our church administrator will know how to direct the funds to the youth group. Jingle request, Sunday service, no longer a douchebag from Brookfield, Wisconsin.
My children, it's a Sunday morning service. No agenda. Gonna get some out of courage. Gonna get a little job. Lord help us out.
All right.
Sir Zach of Fudge in Frankenmuth, Michigan, 333.33. I guess they're selling some fudge.
Yeah.
This is the noagendafudge.com.
Noagendafudge.com, yeah.
In the morning, we know a lot of holiday parties happen after Christmas Day as well. Bring the gift that offends no one. Go to noagendafudge.com. Use promo code noagenda for free shipping. Happy holidays, everyone.
Thank you. Commodore Brennan of the Glass City is up next, 333.33 from Perrysburg, Ohio. Remember, this is for two shows, so it's highly appreciated. ITM gents, I recently hit my mom in the mouth, and now she calls me and starts the conversation about no agenda, or she calls it exposing agendas. All right, Mom. When I first told her about the show, she said, Adam Curry from MTV? We had the same hair in the 80s. Regardless of the hair, this show continues to make a great impact and a great conversation starter. All that said, can I get a fun request? Because the website is as old as all get out and the jingle has not been played in a few episodes. Can I get a Dvorak.org/NA jingle? Also, John, we can save that site if you figure out the password. Uh-huh.
Dvorak.org/NA.
We all know the password is gone. We all know it's
no,
gone.
No, it's not. I have it.
Yeah. Okay.
How can you get a hold? If you want to do some work on it, I can deal with that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Aditya Trimurti. Aditya, this is an Indian name. I can't pronounce it. He's in Hyderabad in India. Trimurti is...
Hyderabad.
Hyderabad.
Sorry.
I don't know where it is. 333.33, but he does say no jingles. No karma. It's always mutton and mead.
Amen to that. Sir Pursuit of Peace and Tranquility, 333.33. He sent in a note, which I shall read. ITM, boys, please find enclosed a December donation. I'm looking forward to being back in the States for the holidays. There's no place like America. And it's that time of the year again for my keeper to celebrate one more trip around the sun on the 29th of this month. Steamed blue crabs, Coors Light and she crab soup with great friends and family will be the feast of the day. She's a Baltimorean? Baltimorean. If you could play the
Baltimorean.
A Baltimorean. I've not heard of this.
I haven't either.
Could you please play a biscuit for her birthday? Why, of course we can.
They always give me a biscuit on my birthday.
Also, to celebrate our visit for the holiday, if you could please play the backup to the backup to the backup jingle. Yes, it will be for, I will be forever grateful. As a self-proclaimed Plan B guy, this jingle always cracks me up. Love the show. Thank you for what you do. 4 more years. Donation accounting attached. Sincerely, Sir Pursuit of Peace and Tranquility, Earl of the Lands of the Red Clay and the Cherry Trees.
A backup and a backup to that backup and a backup to the backup to the backup.
Boom.
Shane Larson in Anchorage, Alaska somehow came in with a note that's all underlined. 333. And underlined and in lighter than normal text.
I know. It's great.
Hi there. I just came out of hiding and finally donated to No Agenda for the first time. 333, baby. So he gets a de-douching, please.
You've been de-douched.
I sent a hyperlink with my donation, which I believe this entire note is the hyperlink. I was humbly wondering if you would consider the song I created on Suno?
Yeah, that's the song AI site, yes.
About the No Agenda, New Jersey No Agenda. New Jersey drones for the end of the show. And he's got a link. Either way, can you please add these jingles? Don't eat me, Bojiden. Shut up, slaves. Thank you, he says.
Don't eat me, Bojiden. You're scary. So scary.
Shut up, slave.
I because of the hassle in getting here, I did not have time to check that out. I will. Thank you very much.
He'll check it out later.
Sir Ted is in Mendon, New York. $300 from Sir Ted. Adam and Johnsy, thanks for the show. Enjoy your trip to Italy, Sir Ted. Boom. Thank you very much, Sir Ted. Love it.
Well, if you thought that note was short, we got our first associate executive producer, Zadok Brown, in Makawao, Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Or Hawaii.
Yes.
277. And his note says, thanks for the insight and laughs.
Nice. Thanks for the short note. The Norwegian knight to be is in Oslo, 26322. And he says, nothing beats listening to John and Adam debating the quality of a French snack. Hilarious. Show 1720 was just what I needed to take me further along my way to knighthood. Not only was it funny, but it confirmed my intuition. I live in Spain, a country that never recovered after the shock of inflation the euro brought with it. If it wasn't for the local black market and the censure, and the country's economy would come to a halt. Spain is basically a banana republic in disguise, but life is good once you get used to it. Also, you are correct about nationalism being the antidote to globalism, if I understood you correctly. Western Europe is being propagandized by corrupt globalists to the point where liberal nationalism is frowned upon as being right extremism. This is especially true in Norway, where I come from. No jingles, no karma. Greetings from the Norwegian knight to be.
I would find that peculiar in Norway, which is the most independent. They're not in the EU.
I know. It's interesting. But he lives in Spain. But he lives in Spain. So.
Yeah. Well, talking about short notes, this is Ivan Babic in Astoria, New York, 26322. No note at all, which gives him a double up karma.
Sure does.
You've got double up. Karma.
And another associate executive producership for Sir Luca from Walla Walla, Washington, 23456. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, fellas. Thanks for another year of media deconstruction. 4 more years, please. Jingle request and double karma. He wants a, they're eating the dogs. Okay. And health karma, yak variety. Hold on a second. Where's the, yes, I got the yak variety. You got it, brother.
They're eating the dogs.
Oh, and he wants a TPP.
You've got karma.
I got to do a TPP karma for him.
Jobs.
You've got.
There we go.
Karma.
Done.
Sir 23s and me's in the UK. Sir 23's Night of the Electric Ocean and the Peak District UK. Thanks and Christmas wishes to Adam and John. No jingles, just karma for the for all the Peak District producers.
You've got karma.
Alan Lang is in Chilliwack, British Columbia, Scandinavia, 221.64. No note, so a double up karma for you.
You've got double up karma.
Eli the coffee guy in Bensonville, Illinois, Mata Coffee, by the way, 212.22. The COVID special was fantastic, he writes. It's easy to forget the madness that occurred. This show helped keep many of us sane during the time of being ostracized for not buying into the propaganda. That's true. People got ostracized.
They did.
You didn't get your shot, let alone those who refused safe and effective treatment while under duress. I hope we as Americans never surrender our freedom of... Screw your freedoms! Your freedoms of speech, movement, and bodily autonomy in such a manner again. It'll happen. Yeah. However, if our overlords decide to put us back in lockdown again, just visit Gigawatt Coffee Roasters. We could deliver the coffee right to your door. Yeah. Use code ITM20 for 20% off your order. Stay caffeinated. And Merry Christmas, Eli the Coffee Guy.
Thank you, Eli. Wonderful. Ian Sloan is in Adderdale, Washington. Oh, Western Australia. I'm sorry. Western Australia. 210.60. John and Adam, ITM, from the land of moronic Elmer Fudd. Your analysis of current events is much appreciated. Request Yak Karma. Best wishes to you both over Christmas, New Year, and beyond from Ian.
You've got karma.
Jeffrey Holman in Vinton, Virginia, 210.60. This is a switcheroo donation for Sean Brennan in Avon, Indiana, to thank him for hitting me in the mouth.
Okay. Boom. Let me just put that in there. Make sure we get that switcheroo in there. Done. Okay. Aaron Johnson, West Jefferson, North Carolina. Adam and John in the morning, longtime listener, first time donator here. Well, I guess you've got a de-douche.
You've been de-douched.
Finally donating with a plug for my business, since you mentioned patent attorneys in the podcast the other day. Here's the plug. Hey, I caught that bit on the last No Agenda show where Adam was mingling with patent attorneys. If there's any No Agenda Nation listeners out there who are patent attorneys, I would love to help you with your patent drawing needs. With over 15 years of experience, I'm here to make your life easier with top-notch patent illustrations that meet USPTO standards, whether utility or design patents. Head over to patentillustrationstudios.com for some samples of my work. That's patentillustrationstudios.com. And he says, thank you both for your courage. You know, it would not be the first time that we've connected people in business. It happens a lot lately, in fact. A lot of people have been connecting for work and working together. We provide more service than you think about often.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting one.
Yes.
To say the least. Linda Lupatkin comes up, and she's in Lakewood, Colorado. $200. And she wants, of all things, jobs karma. And she mentions that this Christmas, give the gift of a faster, more effective job search. Go to imagemakersinc.com. That's Imagemakers Inc. with a K. Or contact Linda Lou, Duchess of Jobs and writer of resumes, and help a loved one with a resume that gets results.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
You've got karma.
Couple more associate executive producers for this episode. Curtis Thomas, Republic, Missouri, 200. Dear John and Adam, I love you guys and the work you do. I just heard John's second half of show clip about the Elohim, and I had to write in. I know it sounds outlandish, but in my opinion, it's actually a very important idea for all No Agenda producers to familiarize themselves with. If you Google Dr. Michael Heiser Deuteronomy 32 Worldview, you will find very sound information on this topic. My prediction is that these sorts of ideas will actually become mainstream in the coming months and years. God bless. Curtis Thomas.
I'm actually sorry I did that. Saran Nurin in Voiten? 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 Voiten?
Floten. Floten.
Oh, that's an L.
Yeah, Floten. Floten.
Floten. Netherlands, $200. Dear John and Adam, wishing you both a Merry Christmas. Let's go for four more years. Please, some F-35 karma. Wow, F-35 karma. For all the No Agenda producers, regards, Sir Ron Nurin.
You've got karma.
And our final associate executive producer did not send a note, as far as I can tell. William Johnson from Hanover, New Hampshire, $200. And so he gets a double up karma. Thank you very much.
You've got double up karma.
And that concludes our executive and associate executive producers for episode 1723. Of course, it also includes people who support us for 1722. We thank you very much. And again, we want to recognize Strokey Bill Walsh for executive producing that episode 1722 for us as well. We appreciate you all so much. Of course, we'll be thanking everyone who donated $50 and above. And remember, those sustaining donations are really a big deal for us. So go to noagendadonations.com. You can fill in any amount, any frequency, and it really supports the show. Of course, executive and associate executive producers are also always appreciated, and the titles we give you are for real.
Our formula is this: we go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Didn't want to mention because it happened, of course. In fact, I was lamenting. Oh man, I wish we had a show. We would have so much fun laughing about Clarissa Ward freeing a notorious Assad regime torturer with her phony with her phony baloney prison cell break thing. What a farce! She will always now be known as the one, the CNN journalist who freed the torturer. Forever, it's a black mark on her resume.
Well, it's like Geraldo in the El Capone vault.
The empty safe.
Basically the same thing.
Yes. CNN, by the way, this is the second hotel we've been in. No longer at the airport hotel in Amsterdam, and not in this hotel in Italy either. CNN and CNN International, nothing. They're not on the system. I found that very peculiar.
Bad management.
Bad hotel management or bad CNN management?
No, it was CNN. They should be, you know, they shouldn't allow this. They should have, they dominating spaces all over there and all the.
They did. Yeah. They
airports did. And they were all over there. Europe. You couldn't turn on a TV without getting CNN International.
So here's just a little fun thing. We haven't been following it very closely, but Justin Trudeau is under some real pressure. Anyways, he's got people from his cabinet resigning. It's kind of unclear why. I mean, do you have any clue as to what's going on?
I got nothing. No.
Well, I do have two people speaking to Sir Trudeau, saying how much they hate him. And apparently that's just out there.
You've sold us out to globalism.
Okay.
You are not working for Canada. You are working for your globalist partners. I wonder how much they're paying you to betray Canada. What do we do with traitors in Canada, Mr. Trudeau? We used to hang them for treason. And you're doing that very same thing to us now.
King Trudeau, what gives you the right to continue? What gives you the right to stay in office? You failed Canada. You've ruined our country. You're done. Walk away. You don't have an ounce of your father's integrity. At least he walked in the snow. You've ruined this country. Everyone around you is running from you. They're abandoning you. Chrystia Freeland, Sean Fraser, they've all left you. It's time for you to go. It's time for Canada to have an election. You're not the king.
You're not the king.
There's a lot of talk about him resigning.
Yes. I wish we knew what was going on.
It's just, I wish a Canadian would give us a briefing on why this swapped out so quickly. This should have been going on during the trucker strike. I don't get it.
They're just mad now. Now they're mad. Now they're mad. I don't know. It's odd. Very odd.
Get some Syrian news, because Syria is a problem.
Yeah. That after Blinken, everyone went to Damascus, apparently the U.S. had a $10 million bounty on this guy's head. And like, oh, no, it's okay. We're dropping that now. You're good.
Yeah, they dropped the bounty because he's not in charge.
You're good. Yeah.
He must have done some sort of backdoor deal.
Mm.
Something happened.
Yes.
So let's play these. These are from the BBC again. Helena.
Now, Syria's new rulers have begun appointing key ministers 2 weeks after the fall of Bashar al-Assad. The European Union, the UK, France and the United States have all sent delegations to the Syrian capital, Damascus, with the US scrapping a $10 million award for the arrest of Syria's de facto leader, Ahmed al-Sharaa. Well, as the regime change continues to take shape, I've been speaking with the director of the Syria Conflict Research Programme at the London School of Economics, Dr. Reem Tokmani. Reem, thank you so much for being with us once again here on BBC News. Very good to see you. Before we delve deeper into that question of the transition now in Syria, I'd just like to begin by talking about how people in the country are currently faring. Can you give us an idea when it comes to their humanitarian needs, infrastructure, and so on? How are people doing?
The daily lives of ordinary Syrians right now vary significantly depending on the region. So in areas, many of the areas that were previously under regime control, like Homs, Hamala, Damascus, there's a sense of relief to, you know, that the Syrian regime is gone. However, in the coastal areas and part of the countryside, fear persists about the future, what might hold, and potential retribution. In the northeast, which is under SDF control, there is also tension, you know, fears about potential clashes with Turkey-backed forces. But despite of the regional differences, the one common thread that unites most Syrians is really the daily struggle to survive. If you look just before the fall of the Assad regime, already we had about 70 million people required humanitarian aid. 90% of the Syrians were in poverty, and around 13 million were food insecure.
Yeah, I don't believe a word of this.
You know, and the more you and I talk about it, the more people get mad at me. You have no idea what he did. You have no idea how bad he was. Well, the international community.
As an exercise.
Hmm.
And we have to hearken back to the earlier days when he was being visited by all the Hollywood celebrities and everything was getting blown up all over the place. Yeah. I went to Flickr.
Yeah.
Which is still there, and they still have all the. And looked up Damascus, Syria. I looked up different to see photos of people, tourists, king of the areas. And I don't see 90%. You look around, these guys are going all over the place. Flickr is really a good resource for looking at pictures that normal people go, snapshots. And there's just these pictures. I don't see any evidence of 90%. They're big markets. I don't see any evidence of 90%. Food insecurity. I don't see any of that stuff that what this guy just said.
I don't understand. Maybe it's all in Homs and we just weren't getting that information. Did you get pictures of Homs? Homs?
They have pretty much all over the country pictures.
Hmm.
And you don't see anything that implies what this guy just said. It just seems like a pack of lies. And the fact that this guy that had a $10 million bounty, which is not trivial.
No.
They only had $50,000 for the healthcare shooter.
Yeah.
$10 million on his head, and now all of a sudden, it's fine and dandy. This is an op. There's clip two.
And these numbers have deteriorated after the fall because of many infrastructure have collapsed. There is still a struggle for daily services. People are getting hardly an hour of electricity, especially in areas that were under regime control. There's a price hike as well. So the sudden change in the regime also meant a change in the economy. The regime had a subsidy over basic commodities like bread, fuel, and now this has been lifted. So suddenly the price of bread went up tenfold overnight. The cost of commuting went up fourfold overnight. So ordinary people are really, really struggling to survive despite that sense of relief and joy that finally the regime is gone.
We have seen a number of international delegations visiting Syria this week, including representatives from here in the United States. Have we learned anything new about the discussions, about any kind of perhaps provisional agreements, or at least how those governments will interact with each other after those visits?
We don't know much about the meeting with the head of HTS, but we know that on the table there were issues like lifting the proscription of HTS as a terrorist organization, also lifting the sanctions, and providing international assistance for reconstructions.
I didn't learn much from that.
Yeah, there's international assistance for construction. That's kind of like, okay.
Oil, gas, the gas pipeline, Qatar pipeline, something like that, maybe.
The whole thing is sketchy. Well, then, I'm surprised anyone gets mad at us for this analysis.
It's
been sketchy forever.
You have to know that he had hundreds of thousands of prisoners and he was incinerating them in underground ovens. This is what I'm being told, but we never heard this before, ever. I don't know why. Okay, this was kind of interesting for reasons that I don't think everyone really realized. Igor Kirillov, the guy who was killed, the Russian.
Oh, yeah, this is interesting. Exactly. This is a good. Good.
Yeah, let's have a couple of clips here. That's a little backgrounder here.
Turning now to some breaking news out of Russia, where the bloodshed from the Ukraine war has now reached the front door of the Kremlin. Take a look at this video, which appears to show the assassination of Lieutenant General Igor Kirillov, the head of Russia's chemical, radiological, and biological weapons unit, happening just miles from the Kremlin. Ukraine's security service claimed responsibility for the killing. The explosive device was planted in a scooter next to the entrance of a Moscow apartment building, and the blast killing both Kirillov and his assistant. NBC's Keir Simmons has the details. Keir.
Even the timing is dramatic. Just yesterday, Ukraine charged Lieutenant General Kirillov with war crimes. Today, they say they have killed him in Moscow. Russian media reporting a bomb was taped to the handle of a scooter.
Yeah, it was quite dramatic, and of course we had video of it, and I think this report also has a NatPop.
This morning in Moscow, a dramatic explosion, killing a key Russian general and his assistant. The blast, so powerful, it blew the bricks from the walls. And the remains of a scooter, it was loaded with explosives, Ukraine says. An operation both audacious and precise, the bomb detonating as he moved between a building and a car. And Ukraine's most ambitious assassination deep inside Russia since the war began. Lieutenant General Igor Kirillov was chief of the Russian army's chemical weapons division. He was sanctioned by the UK in October for the alleged use of chemical weapons in Ukraine. According to a Ukrainian security source briefed on the matter, Kirillov was an absolutely legitimate target since he gave orders to use prohibited chemical weapons against the Ukrainian military. Such an inglorious end awaits all who kill Ukrainians, the source asking for anonymity because they aren't authorized to discuss it publicly. Russian state television leading with news of the killing, saying the bomb was remotely operated. It comes as the war, started after Russia invaded Ukraine, enters its third year. Both sides still taking massive losses. Already, Russian investigators are calling the bombing an act of terrorism, but they will be under pressure to explain another high-profile assassination in the Russian capital.
So this is all kind of standard reporting. I don't for a minute buy that somehow Ukraine is able to kill this guy in Moscow, but this next clip leads me into some interesting things this guy has been saying that might explain this assassination.
Kirillov was just charged on Monday by Ukraine for using banned chemical weapons during Russia's invasion. We know he was a big player in Russia's propaganda apparatus, constantly spreading lies about Ukraine and America. And he once claimed the U.S., in fact, was planning to use drones designed to spread infected mosquitoes. And as the head of the biological weapons unit, he was accused of using a riot control gas against Ukrainian troops that caused extreme irritation and pain in the eyes and lungs. Just bigger picture here, Colonel, what does his death yes. mean for the Russian war effort and Kremlin's overall goals, do you think?
Well, I think they're going to focus their attention on the battlefield. They are making progress, like I suggested. By the way, General Kirillov was also accused of using not just riot control agents, CS and CN, but also nitrochloroform, which was used in the First World War and is banned by the Chemical Weapons Treaty, to which Russia is a signatory.
Okay, so, oh, tear gas. Oh, my goodness, how horrible.
Oh, tear gas. They used CS gas, I might add, during the riots at Berkeley in the late 60s the students.
We use that on our citizens here. What's the big deal? But it was some things he said on Russia. You heard about the mosquitoes from drones. That was interesting. And I have here some audio, which I will translate in real time. Of Kirillov on Russian television. So the reporter says, the growth in illnesses caused by atypical infections has been noted in a number of countries right now. So can we say that this is the result of some help from American biologists? And he answers, we can't say this so indiscriminately. We are public officials after all. As for biological weapons, if we assess the damage caused by COVID over the course of 2 years and around the world, the reporter says the main pandemic lasted 2 years. He says, it cannot even be compared with the damage from World War II. It is dozens of times greater. However, those who make the profits, such as Big Pharma, she says, do you mean all the pharmaceutical companies? And he says, yes. The profits of the pharma companies, which are mainly in the U.S., are colossal. That's the way it is. So that's the first clip. And then the second clip. The reporter says, so the question is, he says, the question is being asked, we provide documents. Oh, the reaction of the USA that we are talking about is typical. There has not been a single refutation of the documents we presented. We sent more than 2,000 pages of these documents to the United Nations. I presume he's talking about the documents that were found about biolabs in Ukraine.
Yes, I think there were 11 of them.
Yes. The reporter says, what sort of reply did you receive? Kirillov says, we usually get two replies. A standard one from the USA is, all that is done is in the interest of the national security of the USA, and you have to trust us. Reporter says, trust them blindly? And he says, yes, trust them blindly. They have a policy of global biological control. They understood that this works and that by creating artificial crises, which are biological in nature, they can rule the world. There's nothing they do for free. Even when they provide supplies to certain states free of charge, they are not as free of charge as they say. So this guy was a problem.
He was.
All of a sudden, Ukraine did this. Sure, Ukraine killed him. I don't believe it for a second.
This is I don't either.
Very unhandy to have this happening. This guy out there running around shooting his mouth off.
Yeah, this was some high-end pros that killed this guy.
That was well done. Well done.
Yeah, he was shooting his mouth off about the biological labs all around Ukraine, which was in the conversation when the war first broke out, disappeared from the discussion, especially in the mainstream media. Nobody wants to talk about it or say anything about it.
No.
And this guy keep bringing it up and other things, issues that I didn't hear about the mosquitoes, but that sounds like something we dream up as some crackpot idea.
It sounds like it. Yeah. I have a little bit of climate change stuff if you want to switch.
I actually have two clips too.
Well, why don't you give us some climate change clips?
The minor, so it'd be probably best to start with these. This is about the key deer, which is a little bitty deer. It's like a deer, it's like a white-tailed deer that's about one third the size of a normal deer.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, by the way, a plague of deer in my yard.
Oh no.
And they got the biggest ears, these particular brands.
Oh, the easier to shoot at.
The old trick is you put a salt lick down somewhere and then you just trap them. Kill them, shoot them easy.
Okay.
And it's all because of climate change. And there's a couple of statements in here that are just worth it.
There's a type of white-tailed deer that's unique to the Florida Keys.
It's been on the endangered species list for nearly 60 years, and only about 800 of them remain. And its habitat is under growing threat from rising sea levels. William Brangham has the latest in our series, Saving Species.
These tiny deer roam freely across front yards and graze on the side of the road on some of the many islands of the lower Florida Keys.
They are very gentle, very, very gentle. And the longer you live here, the more you want to protect them.
The key deer is the smallest subspecies of the North American white-tailed deer. They're about the size of a golden retriever.
They only come to about 24 to 30 inches at shoulder height, so they are substantially smaller, and they're only found here in the Florida Keys.
The first written record of the key deer came from a 16th century Spanish shipwreck survivor. They currently live on only about two dozen of the Keys' 1,700 islands, swimming or wading between them and living in the mangroves, pine rocklands, and freshwater wetlands.
Climate change is the thing that's going to get them.
But it's those very habitats that are under threat from rising sea levels. Chris Berg is with the Nature Conservancy.
This is a success story until now. These animals have been doing very well. They've been coming back. Population is not only stable but growing, but it's only a matter of time as the sea continues to rise that their habitat availability is the thing that undoes the key deer.
Oh boy, climate.
So in the second clip, they're going to talk about rising sea levels.
But the National Ocean.
Wait. So I just thought I'd interrupt it as we speak. And ask you, what do you think the sea level rise are going to say? What do you think it's going to be? Is it going to be 17 centimeters, like 12 centimeters, a foot? What do you think? Won't take much to kill these poor deer. Well, let's play the clip and you'll find out.
But the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration estimates that in 75 years' time, sea levels around parts of the Keys could rise anywhere from 1.5 to 7 feet.
7 feet?
Sure.
Come on, 7 feet.
Oh, man. Well, the reality of climate change is here. And boy, do we notice that in Italy. Up in the mountain, they had completely redone during COVID, redid the entire little mini resort there. They had not had snow there for 5 years. 5 years. 5 years, no snow due to climate change. And this year, there's snow due to climate change.
From record-breaking temperatures to devastating disasters, 2024 brought us closer to the reality of what climate change looks and feels like. According to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the Atlantic Basin experienced 18 named storms throughout the year. Between January and November, the average U.S. temperature was 57 degrees Fahrenheit, roughly 3 degrees above average, and the warmest ever for that period. Ever. During that same time, precipitation levels totaled more than 29 inches, which is roughly 1.5 inches more than average. CBS News national environmental correspondent David Schechter joins us now.
Oh,
David,
good,
2023
David.
Was the hottest on record. How did 2024 fare?
I feel like you're always bringing me in for the good news here. 2024 is set to be even hotter than 2023.
Oh, yeah.
This
year
will mark for the first time ever that our average temperature on the planet will be warmer than 1.5 degrees above pre-industrial numbers. 1.5 is this key number that came out of the Paris Climate Accord in 2015. That was where we're supposed to stay below 1.5 degrees Celsius. The issue here is that it's a combination of average of years, so we haven't violated that climate accord yet, but we're certainly not heading in the right direction at all.
That was new to me. It's not 1.5 per year; it's an average. How many years? Average of what?
No, that's just the change of the moving. It's called moving the goalpost.
Yeah,
we change the way the calculations done. This is what we do with our economic data.
Oh, speaking of such,
we saw devastating heat waves, hurricanes made worse by climate change. How many major events impacted the U.S. and how is a warming planet contributing?
Well, we talk about billion-dollar weather disasters. That's sort of the number that is a threshold for a huge disaster.
Wait a minute. Billion-dollar disasters. So that's just a made-up number, which, by the way, $1 billion was $1 million 50 years ago. So So this too was a moving target. They're just making it up as you go along. A major disaster is $1 billion.
The U.S. experienced 24 of those weather disasters and climate disasters from January through November of 2024 of this year. And that is only second to the number of 28 that was last year. These $24 billion emergencies resulted in an estimated 418 deaths, $61 billion in damage. And to your point, these storms are not caused. These emergencies not caused by climate change. The climate change is juicing the conditions and rolling it, sort of loading the dice to make it potentially worse.
Oh,
it's such a scam.
Juicing and loading the dice.
Yeah. All right. I just wanted to, we gotta get out of here. We have some people to thank, but I do have a real news story here. Let me see. This was an amazing real news story that I loved it so much. Let me see.
And now back to real news.
Tonight, a 29-year-old pleading not guilty to attempted murder and a few other charges after being accused of stabbing a DJ at a vegan strip club on Saturday.
Come on. Come on. A vegan strip club. Come on. Is Raven working there? A vegan strip
Raven!
Club.
Raven! Here she comes. Oh, she's lost a lot of weight.
Vegan strip club. Do you have anything? Can you top that is what I'm asking.
No, I can't top that, so you win.
I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda.
Imagine all the people who could do that.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fab.
Yeah, on No Agenda.
We got some dynamite end of show mixes. We have John's tip of the day, of course. Everybody looking forward to the tip of the day. We do have some knights and dames, which is nice, and some great meetup reports. So first, John will thank everybody who came in $50 and above for supporting this episode and episode 1722.
Yeah, well, we'll start with the Indy meetup from Greenwood, Indiana. It's one of those notes you're going to have to read. It's $195, which is $5. Beneath the associate executive, yes. But it involves a knighting, a daming.
Yes, Sir PBR Street Gang gifted his winning meeting raffle ticket to Nadir, who added dollars to it, then switcherooed it to achieve this mom's damehood, whose note follows. In the morning, Adam and John, I appreciate all you do, and I'm excited to finally be a dame of the best podcast in the universe. My name will be Dame Steph of the Dark Side. For the round table, I'd like Twizzlers, potato chips and guacamole. I'd like to thank my son Nadir for being so generous, for helping me get here. We are both devoted No Agenda fans. Have a happy 2025, and may your year be full of laughter, happiness, and many, many cats. And then it's a jingle, you fools, you stupid fools. We don't have a you fools, you stupid fools jingle that I can recall.
I never heard of one.
Well, we can do a service goat, though. That we can do with a karma.
You've got karma.
So this is a note. This is from Martin McIntyre. I'll have to read this, too. Mount Laurel, New Jersey. And he says, 138.42, rest in peace, Big Mac, and Merry Christmas to all. Note, I paid the fee, but the donation amount is 131.42. My dad's birthday, he passed away on the 7th of December. And so I decided to read it. Lydia Terry in Rochester, New Hampshire, 125. Nathan Cochran in Franklin, Tennessee.
That's one of your Mercy Me boys right there.
There you go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Mercy Me is interesting that we have these bands that listen to us.
Yeah, the group.
William Cotter in St. Paul, Minnesota, 120. Dan Kesterton in Colorado Springs, 11133. He's got a birthday call out for, I guess, himself. He needs a de-douching.
Okay, hold on.
You've been de-douched.
David Wicker in Jacksonville, Florida.
Wicker. 111. It's Wicker. You always do that wrong. David Wicker, sir, by his
How
grace.
How did you know this? 111.22.
You keep doing that one wrong.
Well, that's because Wicker is I think it was a senator, and is always pronounced Wicker, and it's spelled exactly the same. And when I see it, that's what I think of.
I'll keep correcting. Don't
worry keep
about
jumping
it.
On me.
Yes.
William Elliott in Hawaii. 105.35. Keep the newsletters coming, he writes. Marianne Schmid in, what is this?
Oh, hold on. I am.
She's in New York. She's in Iceland. She doesn't know where she is. Experienced around. She had a bunch of problems with drones. Oh. PSYOP is advanced.
Yes.
Because they shut down an airport or something. She got stuck.
Yes.
Robin Tolbert in Topeka, Kansas, 100. Ian Field, 100. Henry Davis in St. Petersburg, 100. Dude named Ben in Czechoslovakia, which is easy. Czech Republic. I think it's Czech Republic. And he needs a de-douching for his friend Libor.
You've been de-douched.
Brian Lillard in Prosper, Texas, 8888. Allison O, Round Rock, Texas, and this is 88, but it's another one. Is a switcheroo for tonight. My dad, Rick O, you might as well read this note because it's a nighting.
In the morning, John Adam, like a good human resource, I've hit my dad, Rick O, several times in the mouth over the years and finally left a mark. Now he listens often and we will discuss topics from the show when we talk. I was working my way to knighthood and this donation was to get me there, but I cannot in good faith accept. This is a switcheroo to gift my dad his knighthood for Christmas. Merry Christmas, Dad. I know I speak for all three kids when I say how blessed and grateful we are to have you as a dad. Not only do you teach us all to always work hard and give it all we had, but it means but it also means to give back to the community, help others, and to be there for your family as you and mom continue to help us and offer advice. We love you. So please de-douche the man already.
You've been de-douched.
And give the man a Jack and Coke for the round table and call him Knight of the Coonsaw River, unless he writes in for a name change. Merry Christmas, happy holidays for everybody in Gitmo Nation. Sincerely, Allison Sir Tony of Dimples and the grandkids. Very nice.
Kevin McLaughlin comes up at 8008. He's the Archduke of Luna, a lover of America and boobs. 8008. That's for show 1722. And here he is again, 8008 for show 1723. David Steinmeier in Lakeview, Michigan, 8008. Another boob donation. He needs a de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
Sir Jub-Jub.
Jub
got a birthday donation for himself or for somebody. 7903. Amanda West in Red Wing, Minnesota, 7533. Another birthday donation for Adam.
Not me.
Not you.
With the message, I love Babcock. You. With the message, I love you. Happy birthday.
That's Jason Babcock is next, and he's in Henderson, Nevada, 7017. And he's got another birthday, this time for himself. Age 54. Sir Rick, we read his note earlier, 6996. That's going to be switched out to somebody else's name if we remember to do that. Baron Sir Phenom in Appleton, Wisconsin, 6969. Gordon Walton in Austin, Texas, 6853.
Yeah, Sir Gordon, for sure.
Dame Rita, Sparks, Nevada, 6733. Merry Christmas. Whoops, there she is again in the next show.
Oh. Yes.
Dame Rita, Sparks, Nevada, 6633. She's got a dollar difference. Scott Schreiber in Madrid, Maryland, 6035. Sir Kevin O'Brien in Chicago, 6006. Kyle Tohig.
Tohig.
Tohig. Liberty Lake, Washington. This is actually a switcheroo for Dame Jen with a G. Protector of women's vaginas.
Yay.
6006. Also small boobs. Les Starkowski in Kingman, Arizona. 6006. Paul Webb in Twickenham, UK. 5555. Merry Christmas. James Edmondson in South Plainfield, New Jersey. 5510. Dean Roker, 5510. Tony Helfs in Fort Worth. And this says TU. That came in as a check. So it's Texas. That switcheroo to, my son, Brian Helfs, 5510. Adam Hurst in Alexandria, New South Wales, 5272. Jerome Van Heringen.
Jeroen van Heringen.
Van Heer, I can't do it. Foothill Ranch, California, 5272. Your show is valuable.
Yay.
Robert Newell, 5250. Baron Henry, Rancho Palos Verdes, 5242. No Agenda Merch, New Hampshire. Yeah, there you go. No Agenda Merch, 51. All proceeds donated to No Agenda Show.
Oh, okay.
Use ITM for free shipping. NoAgendaMerch.com.
They have stickers.
Stickers.
Yes.
Forrest Martin, 5005. Andrew Benz in Imperial, Missouri, 5005. Now, the rest of these people are $50 donors. I'm just going to run through them. Name and location, starting with Braxaw Brands, LLC in Gallatin, Tennessee. Gallatin. Corey Bennett in Denver, Colorado. Scott Lavender in Montgomery, Texas. Luke Olson in Alexandria, Virginia. Andrew Gusick in Greensboro, North Carolina. Corey Katz in Cave Creek, Arizona. Natalie Martin in Snohomish, Washington. Nicholas Rudowich in Harpers Ferry, West Virginia. Michael Sikora in New Richmond, Wisconsin. Baroness Knight in Edmonds, Washington. Baron Allen Bean in Beaverton, Oregon. And last on our list, Michael Statham. Parts unknown. Those are all $50 donors. I want to thank all these people and everybody else on this list for making show 1723 a reality that it is.
Yes, and also, of course, once again to our executive and associate executive producers, we appreciate you all and everybody who came in under $50 with one of those sustaining donations. NoAgendaDonations.com. Here's a jingle for those who need the karma.
You've got karma.
NoAgendaDonations.com. What are you waiting for, everybody? It's your birthday. And we do have some birthdays. Jason Babcock turned 54 on the 17th. Sir Jub Jub celebrated on the 20th. Dan Kesterson, he celebrated his birthday yesterday. Amanda West says happy birthday to Adam. He celebrates today. Happy birthday. Nicole Weirman turning 54 tomorrow. Sir Pursuit of Peace and Tranquility, happy birthday to his keeper. On December 24th, Sir Brian turned 66 on Christmas Day, and Melissa Benavides wishes Danny Benavides a very happy 43rd birthday. He'll be celebrating on January 1st. We say happy birthday to everybody here on behalf of the best podcast in the universe. It's your birthday. Title changes. We do have two title changes. Sir Don becomes Sir Don, Baron of Chandler. And Sir Rick, who was an Earl, now becomes Sir Rick, Duke of Washington, minus Seattle, and the rest of those crazies in King County. Congratulations, and thank you to your exceptional additional support of the No Agenda Show when you move up that peerage ladder. Before we get to our dames and knights, a layaway dame note here from Nicole Weirman, who we just heard had a birthday call out there. She's celebrating tomorrow. Dear John Adam, thank you for your hard work every week, even on holidays. As a former hospital nurse, I know what that's like. That's right. We are just like nurses, and we are nursing your amygdala. I've been a sustaining producer since changing my contribution from public radio to your show at John's urging. There it is. It works. I could go on and on, like telling you about my recent persimmon recipe adventures, but I'll keep it brief instead. Today, I'm claiming my damehood to celebrate my 54th birthday on Monday. I would like to be known as Dame Nikki Ray of Prosperity Park. And can I get an order of batter-fried Wisconsin cheese curds at the round table?
Wow.
That is that's quite the order there. I've not heard of that. That's a new one for the round table.
Out of the
back. And go Pack go as they play on my birthday Monday night. Thank you very much. Well, you bet. And she's in Tualatin. She's in Oregon. She's in Oregon is where she is. Well, why don't you get ready to hop up on the round table here as we get a blade for our dames and knights. It's been a hot minute since we've had some knightings and damings. John?
Yeah, I got it right here.
There it is. On the podium, please, Nicole Weirman, Steph, Singy Deadly. Leftson and Rick O. All of you have reached the No Agenda Night or Dame status. $1,000 or more to the best podcast in the universe. And I'm very proud to pronounce Kate B as Dame Nikki Ray of Prosperity Park, Dame Steph of the Dark Slide, Sir Singy, Protector of the Moonies, and Knight of the Coonsaw River. For you, we've got Hookers and Blow, Rent Boys and Chardonnay, Coffee Ice Cream, Twizzlers, Potato Chips and Chips and Guacamole, Jack and Coke, Batter Fried Wisconsin Cheese Curds, and of course, we've got Bach Vanilla Bong Hits and Bourbon, Sparkling Cider Escorts, Ginger Ale and Gerbil, Breast Milk, and Pablum, and as always, the Mutton and the Me. Congratulations, everybody. It's good to have you here on the podium. Go to noagendarings.com. Take a look at those handsome rings. They're Signet rings. That means that you can hit someone in the mouth with it. It will leave a mark, or just use the wax that we will include with your shipment, and you can use that for your port and correspondence. Put your seal of approval in there, along, as always, with a certificate of authenticity. And welcome to the roundtable, our brand new Knights and Dames.
No Agenda Meetups.
It's a got a short list, very short list today, but we do have two meetup reports to make up for the time. Here's the Indy December meetup report.
Hello, this is Dame Maria.
And this is Sir Mark. Certainly glad to have all of the No Agenda family here to our house, and we say Merry Christmas to all.
And Happy New Year.
In the morning, John and Adam, Sir PBR Street Gang, enjoying mutton and mead at Mark and Maria's this holiday season.
In Trinity, saying Merry Christmas to the No Agenda Nation.
Hey guys, it's Diane in Annapolis. Another fabulous evening with Mark and Maria. Gosh, I wish you guys were here.
Sir Benny here, and it's like a party.
Dame Swanee, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Daughter from Indianapolis, after 2 years and much money later, Mom, you are now a dame.
This is Emily, the Shufflecrat Spook. I'm on the spot, and I'm missing a mat because she came yesterday on the wrong day.
Sir Bruski here, just enjoying the camaraderie with everyone here in Indy, and Merry Christmas to all.
Gary here. Interesting. Sir Rip of Maple leaves the country, and Syria goes to hell. What a coincidence.
Sir Edward of Tatton Hall, Baron of Flyover Country, wishing Adam and John and the entire Global No Agenda family a very Merry Christmas.
This is Nick from Indy. I brought some Bitsy Ballin. I brought some Hockle Slack, and I'm ready to eat Maria's dogs.
Oh,
let's go.
Oh,
we wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy
They never disappoint those indie people.
I think
people.
You should clip that little part at the end there for the end of show.
I wish I could do it right now, but I can do it on the next show for end of show. Hey, West Palm Beach threw axes and drank tequila. Woo!
In the morning, John and Adam, this is Brian from the West Palm Beach axe throwing meetup, where surprisingly everyone has their fingers and toes remaining.
And in fact, I was flashed by the axe master.
In the morning, I'm an unexpected and unrealized axe master thrower.
Ruffy Green Guy in the morning.
This is 4-H Mama. They don't allow me around sharp objects.
This is Paul. What do you call when a group of knife throwing, no agenda producers have a successful meetup? An accident.
Hey, this is Ronnie in the morning.
It's Leslie in the morning. We drank and we threw things.
This is the Reiki Princess. So excited and grateful for another amazing Florida meetup. We threw axes and knives and even some shovels because one of our knights flirted with our smoking hot 25-year-old axe master or axe mistress, who ended up flashing him and giving us all the special treatment. We also had some mead. You never know what will happen at these meetups. It's like a party. Happy holidays, everyone.
All right, West Palm Beach, thank you very much. Good editing, good reports there. Always appreciate it. There is a meetup taking place today. It is in Los Baños, California. So it is just, it's getting underway soon. It'll be at 3:30 p.m. That is the Resist We Much meetup, me and Ed's Pizza in Los Baños, California. So make sure you catch that. We do have meetups throughout the rest of the year. Bedford, Texas on the 28th, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Eagan, Minnesota on the 30th, and then after the new year, we have Raleigh, North Carolina, Colorado Springs, Roanoke Park, California, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It keeps on going. Go to noagendameetups.com. Do yourself a huge favor. Find yourself one of these meetups. You need the buzz that you get from being with real people. You know, that little hit you get, that little just, yes, I like being with human beings, not something on social media. Go to noagendameetups.com. Find a meetup near you. If you can't find find one near you, then just start one yourself. It's easy. NoAgendaMeetups.com.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You want to be where you won't be triggered or held to blame. You want to be where everybody feels the same. It's like a party.
Now, you're not going to tell me you don't have a single ISO, are you?
I'm going to tell you that I don't have a single ISO.
How can you not have an ISO knowing that I will not have time to, you know, traveling to get ISOs?
Well, then I want you to use one of the ones from the last show, which I produced three good ones, and they were all usable, and you didn't use them.
Let me see. Hold on a second. I'm hearing Tina's. She's playing reels on Instagram. let me see. I have.
Yeah, no. No, yeah.
That one? Is that one of the ones we use recently?
That's a good one.
Yes. What was this?
Fighting that thing is on the fritz.
We didn't use that one. That was
I
a
like
good
yeah,
one.
No, you know, yeah.
You know, you know, you know, yeah. We'll use you know, you know, you know, yeah. That's all good because it is time now for John's tip of the day.
Great advice for you and me. Just the tip with JCD.
Great my name, Bernetti.
Sometimes Adam.
All right.
So before we do the tip of the day, I'm going to do a retrospective on another tip of the day.
Okay.
Because somebody sent me this very interesting note, which I think is somewhat scandalous.
Oh, no. A scandal, he says.
This is from producer Fred.
Mm-hmm.
And he writes in, I've been using the Libby app for several years now and noticed something interesting.
Okay.
The app tells you how many copies, digital copies of each book the library owns. I was frequently on long hold lines waiting to borrow a copy of audiobooks, which I had that had been checked out. Popular titles, especially classical literature, may only have one or two copies available. Alternatively, autobiographies and other books by leading political figures often have 200 or more copies on the quote-unquote shelf with very few ever checked out.
Yeah.
Is it possible that our public libraries are subsidizing select people by funneling public funds through the overpurchasing of excess digital copies of audiobooks nobody wants to read? My local library branch had over 100 digital copies of Stacey Abrams' books.
Oh.
500 copies of Michelle Obama's book, for example. Only 2 to 3 ever checked out. Breach.
This is a scam.
Tell me about it.
A scandalous scam, no less. So this is how
they
do it.
That was quite interesting.
I think that's super interesting.
Yeah, because these guys get these huge advances, and so somebody's in on this. This is like a wink, wink, nudge, and okay, you can buy 500 copies of Michelle's book.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're not going to sell or even check out that many. Just do it. We'll make sure you get the government funding in.
Wow! Wow!
This is a scam.
Yeah.
This is an outrageous scam. All right. Tip of the day.
Tip of the day.
This is a spice that people should all get a hold of. I noticed I did this. These spices are you baddiest spice ones before, but this is even a more generalized product that you can use on everything. Now, I've always been a big fan of spice blenders because they'll blend up stuff. They tell you, you know, these cooking shows will show you how to do it yourself. 90% of the time, they're not tested enough, and they're never perfect. I was noticing this recently on a show where they were showing the America's Test Kitchen, and they were making up spices that you could beat easily with Tony C, which is kind of a tip.
Okay.
Adobo from Goya. And get the big giant thing of it.
Adobo.
Adobo seasoning. Adobo seasoning is a Mexican seasoning that Goya, a big Trump supporter, by the way, Goya makes. And the one you want is either the plain one with nothing added to it or the one con pepper. It's got pepper in it. Those are the two. If you go to the Goya website, the Adobo page, it will show you all kinds of screwy ones I have never seen. I shop in Giant Mexican, which is another thing I recommend, shopping in Giant Mexican Mercados. These are massive supermarkets. They're in all around the country. We have four or five in the Bay Area. And they have all these spices, and they have the Goya adobo, but they don't have all these screwball ones that they have on the website. Don't get any of those. Get the plain adobo, and you put it on steaks, you can put it on chicken, you can put it in your salad, you can put it anywhere. This stuff is amazing, and here's the kicker. Unlike a lot of these spice blends, there's absolutely not a trace of anything that relates to wheat. Thus, Mimi and other people that have actual wheat allergies can use this spice, and you can use as much as you want.
I think that is not just a great tip. It is a great tip for people with wheat issues.
Exactly.
Are you looking for good advice? Perhaps something practical or something you really need? Try the No Agenda Tip of the Day. Professional quality tips from the best podcast in the universe.
Created by Dana Bernetti, everybody. That's right. And that concludes our broadcast, partially from the home of Michelangelo. No, not Michelangelo. Da Vinci. Yeah, Da Vinci's hometown. That's what I meant to say. And let me see. We've got end of show mixes coming up here from Jeff Crocker, who's been doing a bang-up job, and Sir Joho, who I'm not sure if he sang this or if he got this one from some Suno AI outfit, but it's pretty good. I must say I like the lyrics, and it's fun to listen to. It's a toe-tapper. And coming up next on the No Agenda stream, trollroom.io, and of course your modern podcast apps, we've got Grumpy Old Benz with a Christmas miracle. Ah, who doesn't love it? Coming to you from Florence in Italy. And of course, I will be here, and I'll be in Amsterdam for the next show before we head home. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where it's drying out, I'm John C. Dvorak.
Remember us at noagendadonations.com. We'll see you on Thursday. Until then, adios, mofos, a hooey hooey, and such.
Upon review of available imagery, it appears that many of the reported sightings are actually manned aircraft that are being operated lawfully.
This is over my house right now.
The drone can't go that high, bud.
And importantly, there are no reported or confirmed drone sightings in any restricted airspace.
I've been getting multiple calls for drones. I have about 5 to 10 drones
that's it. We certainly take seriously the threat that can be posed by unmanned aircraft systems.
And still, no one knows who lost it.
The reported sightings there do, however, highlight a gap in authority. And so we urge Congress to pass important legislation that will extend and expand existing counter-drone authorities so that we are better prepared to identify and mitigate any potential threats to airports or other critical infrastructure, and so that state and local authorities are provided all the tools that they need to respond to such threats as well.
Where the tech bros play, John's decking the halls in a digital way. Mimi's got the lights, they're blinking in sync with algorithms buzzing, no time to blink. Down in Texas, it's a whole different scene. Tina's roasting brisket where the air is clean. Adam's got the tune spinning vinyl so loud. Fredericksburg's rocking, they're drawing a crowd. It's a No Agenda Christmas, crank it up tonight. From Region 9 to Region 6, we're feeling alright. The Podfather and the Buzzkiller bringing the cheer. We're the rockin' No Agenda to close out the year! John's got his wine, a vintage so fine. Riffing on the news, conspiracies align. Adam's in the groove with a jingle or two. Calling out the grifters, yeah, you know who. The jingles are blaring, the trolls hit the floor. Gitmo Nation's rocking like never before. We toast the producers, the knights and the dames. No agenda.
Agenda's the podcast breaking all the chains. It's a No Agenda Christmas. Crank it up tonight. From region 9 to region 6, we're feeling alright. The Podfather and the Buzzkiller bringing the cheer with a rockin' No Agenda to close out the year.
Mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Yeah, no, yeah.